I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
Nevertheless, as had been true of many white abolitionists, the liberal perspective of the new movement did not necessarily mean that its followers saw blacks as social equals, and they could hold racist views at worst and patronizing attitudes at best. In 1890 and 1891, for example, gospelers held conferences on the status of the Negro in Mohonk, New York, without feeling any need to include black leaders. A patient is not invited to the consultation of the doctor on his case, said Lyman Abbott, one of the foremost leaders of the movement. When asked why no African Americans were asked to attend T. Thomas Fortune, Booker T. Washington, Tremont's Reverend Cook, and protested the exclusion, and when blacks were not invited to the second conference, Torgy boycotted in protest. Their impulse towards sectional and ecclesiastical unity also kept the Northern gospelers conservative on racial issues and relatively silent on lynching. But at least the most Anglophile group had not extricated African Americans from the realms of moral reform, and after the Smith lynching, they were becoming more sensitive to critics. Already accomplished by the simple fact that Ida's invitation to speak was the acknowledgement that she and blacks in general had the right to define race issues, what Ida hoped to do was to recover and reignite their abolitionist spirit as a force against lynching. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen,
and we're live on a Sunday morning.
We are
ready to give y'all church. And we also have a very special guest today. It's JL Covan. What's going on, man?
Hello, everybody. Thank you for having me. People who can see in the picture, that's a caricature of myself in the home office. Not pictured as my Colin Kaepernick GQ Man of the Year photo.
Well, thank you for
it's a shrine to biracial greatness in my home office.
You know, we need to celebrate that, okay?
We do.
Kenya Burns can't do it all by itself. Mm-hmm. All right, guys. Yeah, but thank you for coming on, JL, man. I know we just had you on not too long ago, but you know, you can always come on, obviously. Mm-hmm. And we appreciate you coming on. It's always fun to have you.
No, and I appreciate it. And obviously with this week being a big week for me, you know, I have to go, much like Trump, I have to go to my base.
Yeah.
The people who've been there when I was only at 2% in the polls.
I am the Candace Owens of JL Covan, okay? All right. I was over here way before the rest of you guys, but I'm happy to be here. So I guess first things first, you know, the Reading Rainbow segment. That was from Ida, Sword Among Lions, Ida B. Wells, biography. And then, the thing I thought was interesting is like, that's 1891, 1890. And in a lot of ways, you know, people still feel that feeling of like white liberalism, even when it's like proactive about race, is kind of like, well, we don't really need like actual input from black people. We kind of got it figured out here, guys. And it's still like a level of patronizing and dismissiveness that is still racist, you know. And when people talk about that, I think, you know, a lot of times we have a habit of being so myopic, right? We're focused on our lifetime. But this has been a battle since abolition. Like, this is a group that started on, like, we should free these niggas. And it's like, oh, okay, cool. Like, these woke white people get it. And then it's like, oh, we didn't ask for your opinion on the freedom, Negroes. Let's all calm down. All right. So I thought that was interesting. And not just that they did one conference without any black people, and even defended it as not, you know, you don't let a patient tell you how to do the surgery. They then the next year did the shit again with no black people.
But what you do does affect the patient, and sometimes the patient description can actually help you do your job better. Things that might be affecting them that you might not even be aware of.
It's like that thing where they ask you how much pain you're in.
Right.
But then they don't really believe black people anyway. It's kind of like that, but with, you know, racism and activism. So I just thought that was like a very poignant moment because, you know, I think a lot of, people that would consider themselves like liberal white folks and whatnot, they never understood like the rejection of people like Bernie Sanders and stuff before.
Right. It confuses them. Still does to today.
Yeah. For a large part, this is what black people are talking about. You know, this idea of like, you know what's best for us. We don't know what's best for ourselves. And you also don't really want our opinions in the room. You mm-hmm. know, like you'll pick your hand for your hand picked couple of blacks that completely agree with everything you do, but if the second anyone gets in the room and goes, well, maybe we could do it this way, you're like, get the fuck out, I march with Martin Luther King, I have Cornel West and Killer Mike in here, if we need any more blacks, we'll let you know, now get the fuck out and vote for me. And I think it's ironic that over 100 and something years later, here we are with the same shit. All right.
And then my thing is this, they're confused with the rejection, like the rejection actually confuses them most of all. They go, we got these great ideas, come on in the room, guys, come on, we thought about you blacks, we thought really hard about you blacks, and we have this like agenda and these things, and we think you're going to be real excited about all these ideas that we have to share. And we go, okay, but what about no, we figured it
right,
we got everything under control. Your small little brain, Negro brain, cannot understand or fathom the complexities of what we have for you.
They didn't even think it was important to talk about lynching. Like, that's crazy when you think about,
because it's not directly impacting them.
Like that time period, like niggas was getting lynched like weekly. You know what I mean? Like it was happening so often you couldn't even keep up with it. Right? We still don't know exactly how many because you know they weren't graders. And it wasn't a big deal for a lot of people. It was like, yeah, right. We lynched a nigga. That was, what was that, Tuesday? Shit. So. You have an organization about black freedom, or about, you know, equality for everybody, probably not black freedom, but equality for everybody, and they're like, why the fuck would we talk about lynching? We're in New York. That's some like down south shit that has nothing to do with us. So let's calm down, Negroes.
And that attitude to today has never changed, and right. That's a lot of reasons why me, as somebody who's been down here the bulk of my life, it irritates me, and I reject people from up north when they always act like racism is just a down south thing. You know what, nigga? I've been up north to Philadelphia, and guess what? I seen fucking Confederate flags up there too, but it's a motherfucking down south thing.
Yeah, it's also interesting too, because you know, black people got lynched all over the place. Like, it wasn't just the South, but
right.
The idea of like, we don't, that's not really what we're here for, guys. Okay, we're more about like, let's, you know, maybe desegregate the buses or something, you know. You're like, well, okay, that's a good idea, you know, I'm not knocking it, but as a black, I think, shut your black ass up. We didn't invite you, first of all. Booker T, what is his name, Washington, whatever, just we'll get to you when it's important. When it's your turn, we'll call on you. You do what you want to do at the black meetings, but here at the white desegregationist meetings, we'll let you know. All right, guys, not much has changed is my point. Let's get into the song. Wait, why is that the end? What?
Remix.
Well, yeah.
I have Beyonce coming to the room. What's happening here?
I must have played it yesterday. Butterfly in the sky. I can go twice as high. Take a look. It's in a book. A reading rainbow. I can go anywhere. Friends to know and ways to grow. A reading rainbow. I can be anything. Take a look. It's in a book, a reading rainbow, a reading rainbow. Oh, we heard this part already. So like I said, we have a very special guest today, my man JL Covan, and as you hinted at, it is a big week for everything JL Covan, man. Can you tell everybody what's coming out, man? What to be expecting? I would say I've already pre-ordered. So, you know, as Candace Owens of the JL Covan Hive, I'm already on it, but go ahead and tell the rest of these fools.
Paris Denard Morrow, thank you. yeah, it's, I've got a new Trump album coming out this Friday. It's called Fireside Craps The Deuce. A few years ago, I did an album called Fireside Craps, which was like a half hour, 35 minutes sort of little album, $5, where it was like, hey, we're going to recap Trump's presidency for the first 100 days in his own words. Like we did it as if it was recorded contemporaneously. So you'd have things like him going, I love James Comey, knowing like 6 months later he would hate James Comey. But, he's going, I don't see any reason why I wouldn't like James Comey from here on out. He's a strong guy. And so that was like a very like funny, but like sort of quickly produced sort of album. And it sold okay. It did okay. And so we had this idea to do another one because the impression keeps getting better. So it's 3 years more seasoned, the more material. I thought, let's do another one. And so we've been working on this since January. So it may seem to some people like, oh, look at this. I got like Twitter famous. So let me try to make a quick buck. This was coming out regardless. This is just like great luck for the album. But it's Aaron Hodges, who produced it, did a phenomenal job. Like it's really well produced. Like every track is like, has like a musical background to fit the, like just to, it's not a musical album, but it really enhanced it. And there are some tracks, and this is me, like I'm listening to my own voice. I don't really laugh at it that much.
Right.
What he did with this to enhance the album had me like cracking up. So it's basically Trump's presidency from Charlottesville to right before COVID. And we actually did a track on COVID, which was funny. But I said, you know what? If this goes really south, which hopefully it won't, but there's always that potential, I just thought, you know what? Let's not put that on because in case this becomes like 2 million dead, people be like, this guy thought it was funny. Cancel him. Now I'm expecting to get canceled at some point. Like I already have it written into my career that like there will be a cancellation.
Yeah.
It will happen, but I don't want to do it like, I don't want to do it intentionally.
Well, I feel like cancellation is part of the career path now. Like, I feel like even if you get like an agent or somebody to a handler, a manager, like at some point, like if your manager is talking about how we're going to get you canceled, then I feel like they're not really a good manager. Cause all the good people, all the greats get canceled at some point.
Yeah, they do. So, come back.
Like, let me know what's going to be the thing. Like, what's on the horizon? How are we going to get my name out there cause it's like a threshold of like, there's all the good popularity, and then there's a threshold of like, this is when you made it though. Like you haven't made it
until
people are like, did you know this motherfucker said in 2003? That's when it's like, oh, that motherfucker right there, they made it for real.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. And obviously, I have no agent, no manager, no PR. So, the success of this album for me is sort of very important because as you were saying, either when I was on or maybe like when just after I was last on the show, that I sort of did it while sticking a middle finger up to the business and I still kind of broke through. Now this album is the first chance for me to sort of say, oh, and I made money. Now I don't just have followers and likes and people laughing. Now I actually monetize this, not in a cheap way. Cause like I said, this album was coming out
regardless
anyway, but now it's like, does my fan base, do they put their money where their laughs and their likes and their retweets are? And I'm hoping they do because like I said, we're not only hoping to go number one on iTunes, which I think is going to happen pretty easily. That's not like super difficult to do for a limited amount of time, but I'm hoping to get high up on the Billboard comedy chart because I think for a guy with no PR, no agent, no manager, if you can get that album 1, 2, or 3 on like the comedy Billboard chart, it sort of says, well, somebody should now be coming to get this because I already got to a place without you. So now somebody should be trying to elevate that more. That's the goal. So this is, it's a great project, but it's also an attempt to use that. The money doesn't matter to me. I mean, it's not going to make me $1 million. So this will be like some rent payments or something, which is not to be dismissed.
Right.
But it's the PR value. It's like if this can be a project that gets big, I'm not even concerned about because it's, like I said, whether I make $4,000 or $8,000 or $3,000, that's all nice.
Right.
But that's not like, that's not going to change my life. That's not going to, that'll just give me like some breathing room. But if I get that JPEG of like Billboard number one comedy album in the country week of this, that's now that has value. That has extensive value. So that's what I'm hoping for. But it's a, you know, I obviously, I'm a fan of most of my products, but this is, if people like the Trump impression, this is, I mean, this is, as Aaron said, this is like a funeral for every other Trump impersonator.
Mm. Yeah, I can't wait, man, because, you know, I've already been, JL Trump truther for a while. Like, I think you have the best impression, hands down. Like, it's not, I don't think it's close, but, and that's not even like to say other people don't have good ones or any, you know, like it's not even a slight to them, but you know, it's like if someone says Michael Jordan is the best player they ever seen, it's not like, well, then you're saying Karl Malone sucks. Like I didn't say that. I just, he does, but that's not in the way that you're thinking.
All right. Well, thank you for having me on. Good luck with the rest of this episode. That disrespectful talk of Karl Malone.
Hey, well, for what it's worth, I wouldn't say it to his face. You know what I mean? So for what it's worth, just know that I would only say that on a podcast. If he was in my face, I'd be like, you are better than Michael Jordan, sir.
the two things that happened that I thought were funny with regards to this impression though, like once I blew up was, one Trump impersonator tried to go through like a third party to see if I wanted to collaborate on like a Trump video. And I was like, this isn't Kanye and Jay-Z. This is Kanye and the guy selling me his CD on the subway. no, sir. Like I was nice about it. I was like, I appreciate that. But I was like, I'm not looking to raise your impression up.
Right.
You've done your thing. You peaked. He had his moment, and now I'm peaking, and I'm peaking higher, as I should. And I don't say that as like a diss.
Right.
If mine's better, then mine at some point deserved its moment. And then another dude who impersonates Trump, who had some – I'm just going to say it's – I don't want to tip off who it is.
Right.
But he blocked me on social media, and I had no interaction with this dude. And then as I learned, he was trying to basically use some of my techniques and do what got me big, like on other people's things. And it wasn't succeeding because at the end of the day, this dude kept getting mentions from people who liked mine going, hey, yours is okay, but have you seen JL Covan?
Right.
And that was great because he's still seeing those mentions, but I can't see what they're commenting on. And I thought that was like lame. Like I was just like, you blocked, I have nothing to do with you and you blocked me. Which tells me that you're like trying to hide that you're copycatting or something.
Yeah, that's some insecurity.
It's not affecting me.
Yeah, that's some insecurity because you guys haven't even had an interaction or whatever.
Like these are people with managers, agents, things like that like get hooked up, and it's like, you know, I have the COVID has at least stripped everybody of a lot of their institutional power when it comes to comedy. Like they don't have their manager or agent saying, hey, have you seen my guy? You should definitely have him on this. There is no this. There is the content and that's it. And you know, as I joked, like Bane, you know, I was born in this anonymous managerless agentless darkness.
Right.
And they don't know how to adapt.
You know, I never had a manager, Batman. You know what I mean? So it's like now this is, you know, kind of a weirdly enough, a good time for me.
Yeah, it's also interesting too because like I've said this for years on the show, but I always feel like no one ever really does shit for people unless they can already do it for themselves now.
Yeah,
like it's like you know, there's some people here and there. You know, I'm not saying it's not 100% of people, but the vast majority of like the gatekeeper type of people, they only fuck with you after you've done what it is you do. You know, it's, hey, you guys want to do a live show under my label? Like, we did it now. Like, the time for you to ask me that and for me to accept that was, you know, a year ago when I didn't think I could do that. And I was like, I wish I had someone that could take me under their wing and like help me figure out how to do that shit. You know, hey, you want to monetize your podcast? I did that. So like this is, you know, where were you at, you know, 5-6 years ago with this? You know, maybe you would at this point, that's just you wanting a cut of revenue that I'm gonna get already.
Correct.
And I think that's one of the things that happens is that you have people that feel like the, you know, oh, I see jail. Okay, jail's got some things going on. Now's the time. Have you thought about maybe, you know, it's like, maybe put out an album. It's like, I put out the album. So to me, that's why it's important that this album, you know, do well, is because it's not just about just putting out an album, because, you know, I'm sure there's people that have seen Depression Now that are like, we got to figure out a way to put this, you know, in a place where we can monetize it. It's the fact that you did it, you know what I mean, already. Yeah. So that's to me the more important part. Even if like you said, it's not about the money or whatever, it is some level, it's about the integrity of the shit. And it's for the person that blocked you. The thing that I find interesting there, and I realized this this weekend, I was thinking about it, because every once in a while on Twitter I'll run into like a tweet and it's like you can't see it, and you're like, what the fuck happened there? You click on it, it's like, this person blocked you. I'm like, I've never talked to this person in my life. I don't even know this person. And I was thinking back to our show with Mike Kaplan. I was like, wait, you know what, this is a gift. This now gives me the creative license to write the story of why they blocked me, because they didn't tell me. I don't know. My head normally goes, well, I must have said or did something fucked up, and I fucked this up somehow. I don't even know this person, and I fucking pissed them off. And now I've turned it into a positive of being like, oh, they probably like Pepsi more than Coke, and they just fucking like flip the fuck out because I know that Coke is the better product, or, you know, whatever, some silly shit, and then just move on that way.
Yeah, then I used to do an impression of Mike Kaplan. It just made me think of you going, he was the black guy who tips, now he's the blocked guy who tips.
Oh. Yeah, Mike is except Mike would have went on like six more minutes. Mike got
oh, no, bars. No. He's the comedy equivalent of, you know, like nuanced bars.
Yeah, yes. Nuanced bars, man. That motherfucker makes me laugh so hard, but it's like, at some point your chest just gets tired, because it's like a machine gun.
Mike Kaplan once told me that, like, because I lost to him in the semifinals of a big competition at Caroline's many years ago that he went on to win. Mm. So I would always joke about how he beat me, and he was like, actually, JL, you beat me in a competition in Boston in 2006. Yeah. And I was like, oh, shit, I didn't realize that I'd done that. Awesome. And my friend who liked his stuff, who had come to see shows, he just referred to Mike as the machine gun of comedy.
He is, man.
And it was just like, bah, 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 and it was like, after like 10 minutes, it was like, whoo, it's like, sometimes you feel like you want to be in that, not marathon running pace, but that kind of like, I'm Michael Johnson running the 400. I'm just in like a good speed. Yeah. And he's got that like Usain Bolt, like all out.
Mike doesn't finish a bit. Mike relents. You know what I mean? like Mike's like, and you can breathe again now. Now I'm done. I'm done for a second. Go ahead and catch your breath. But he's so fucking good.
Yeah, I know that joke, but his brain is like a computer, and when he talks, it's like that nonstop all this data. He's just pumping all this data at you, and you're like, okay.
It's like math and jazz at the same time, because then he'll like pick up shit in the middle of his thing that becomes like
a
new thing.
That's why I call it Maz, but not Maz Gavroni, who's also a comedian, but not like me. And I have a microphone. You can call me Mike, but it's not spelled like Mike. It's spelled like MYQ. Q for question. Question. Why do you spell it MYQ? Well, I just do that.
Speaking of Q, that's my cue to move on to the next topic.
Yes.
Like, he's great.
He doesn't forget, which is amazing. He will like be talking, be like, put a pin in that, go on 10 minutes, and then go back. You'd be like, oh shit, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I listened to him on Chris Lambert's podcast, and it was fucking insane, because it was 2.5 hours, and it would really be like, Mike would be like, all right, so, yeah, I'm gonna come back to that. And then like, he would talk like, finish his 10 minute story, and come back to that, like whatever that was. Like, I was like, this motherfucker's a genius. But enough about him, he's not on the show today. Right. Speaking of geniuses, JL, you sent me a track, man, to play for everybody here,
exclusive to this audience.
Black Guy with Tips exclusive
new shit, new shit,
call 704-557-018-666.
Yeah.
So we from Fireside Craps, The Deuce. Okay, this is the sec. Oh, also, before I can you talk about the concept of the actual album though, because people might not have heard the first one. Yeah.
Yes. So basically, the album pretty much starts in Charlotte's, you know, with Charlottesville. And it's, the idea is that, Franklin Roosevelt used to have something called Fireside Chats, where he would speak to the nation once a week by radio. And what's funny is that Trump had talked about he wanted to do a radio show during this whole thing. And then he didn't want to interfere with Rush Limbaugh. So he didn't do it. But he, so basically the idea is instead of doing like a
wait,
radio
is that
show
real? Is that, hold on, hold on. Is that real?
That's real. That's real. Yeah, I'm sorry. That wasn't a joke. That's real.
Wow.
All right, go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah. So he, so my idea with the first album, and it continues with this one, is instead of doing like, hey, this is the president's radio address to the nation, when he's taking a shit, he just gets on his phone and like records his thoughts. So like the end of each track is like a flush of the toilet. And he basically just goes, it's a kind of thing. It's supposed to be contemporaneous. So it tracks his presidency from like, you know, August 2017 up until March, 2020. And each track is just reflecting his thoughts at the time, whether he's super happy. I think the one you have is about like the Mueller report coming out and him feeling exonerated. It's very like festive kind of track. But there's like really negative tracks. I won't say what track it is because this one made me laugh so hard, especially with what Aaron did, but there is a eulogy to Jeffrey Epstein, which I could not leak out as a bonus track. Cause right. I would have been like, that might be the best one on the whole album.
Right.
That had me laughing like hysterically at my own shit, which I don't do.
Right.
So like, but that's what, you know, you get that kind of up and down throughout. There's guest appearances by Melania and, Huckabee, Sarah Huckabee Sanders on the album. So, and I do Brett Kavanaugh on a track as well, who I've done on the podcast before. So it's a very funny album. And you know, kind of like a weird history of this presidency that, you know, at least it's somewhat honest if you get the jokes.
All right, let's get into this track real quick, guys. Here we go.
In the words of one of the great partiers of all time, Rick James, it's a celebration, bitches. Spring is in the air and Robert Mueller's a bitch. April 2019 might be the greatest fireside craps of all time. Robert Mueller went in front of Congress with his big bad report. He's doddering like an old man. Everybody was so scared of Robert. Oh, Robert Mueller. He's a very tough guy. Very FBI. He was in the Marines. He's a tough. Did you see this guy? Walked in there. Blah, 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 blah. Well, guess what? You ain't shit. You ain't got shit. Bob Mueller. They call him Bob. I guess that's like De Niro. You know, they call Bob De Niro. Robert De Niro sucks. So does Robert Mueller. And they can play each other on Saturday Night Live. They can 69 for all I care. Pathetic old men, the both of them. No collusion. No obstruction. Robert Mueller, you did nothing. You have nothing. The Dems are sitting there like losers. They're all losers. They're pathetic losers. And they put their hopes in this old man. It was like in The Shining. Remember The Shining when the black takes the cross-country trip and he goes to save the little kid? And then he walks in the door and Jack Nicholson puts an axe through his chest? That's what Robert Mueller did. He's black from The Shining. That's what I'm going to call him.
No.
Black Mueller. Because all he did was take a lot of time, spend a lot of money, and he got a Trump axe right in his chest. So we're celebrating. Melania's out of town, so I think you know what that means in terms of celebration. Double the hookers for double the acquittal. No collusion hooker, no obstruction hooker. It is a great Rick James-themed party at the White House tonight. Mueller and the Dems can eat it. This is one of the great shits of all time. I really feel good. I really feel all the badness is coming out of me. And I'm going to have one of these hookers take me to a bidet and clean me. No obstruction.
I feel like the music is what takes it to the next level.
Right? The music.
And that was, he, when Aaron did that, his company that he started, and the reason, I've been very vocal, and I'm going to give Aaron like a big kind of promotion when this album hits where it hits. I've done my 6 stand-up albums solo, completely self-produced, because the comedy industry is full of people who want to sort of take advantage of the desperate mid-level comedians. We're always striving to get to that next level. So if somebody offers to produce an album for you for free, and all they have to get is half the royalties on streaming for the rest of your, you might go, well, they're a good album company and they, you know, they do the production and they put it on iTunes with like a banner. They have a deal with iTunes. So it'll say, oh, new content from, and you get kind of in love with that because you want, you need that opportunity. You need that. And anybody who's willing to offer that to you, but they're really jacking so much money from you because they know. And I could go on a whole,
right.
That could be a, I've done that. I've written and done entire podcasts on mine, about this, but they take way too much money because they know that people are desperate. And the truth is, in the, until this year, the last 3 years, the majority of my stand-up comedy earnings have come from streaming royalties because I have both the artist rights and the owner's rights. So that money, these companies know that, and they sucker you in because they know you want to get to a certain level. And the terms of the deal are always disadvantageous to the artist.
Right.
Relative to what they should be. You know, these big labels, they give the Jim Gaffigans of the world like sweet deals because they want them as like the, you're our advertisement. Like, we're not looking to make money off you. You're our billboard that says, look at what we've produced. And then they go to artists like me, some people with some skills, smaller fan bases, but they gather up like 80, 100 albums a year, and they're taking $10,000 each year from 100 different people that need that money. Like, if you're an artist who's making 30 grand a year from your art, you could sure use 40 grand instead of 30 grand.
And it's not even, it's not even like they're then investing in you in a way that you wouldn't in yourself, right? So it's not like, well, yeah, sure, we're gonna, you know, take half of your royalties or whatever, but it's okay. We're also gonna put out a whole lot of advertisements. We're gonna like get you on different radio shows and stuff for where you're doing all this promotion that you wouldn't have gotten on. So maybe we have a connection with so and so, and we're gonna send you on. You know, you're gonna be on Mark Maron's podcast promoting this out. They don't even do that. It's
you just get the bare minimum. Yeah. And then they was like, well, you do the rest of the work.
It's basically like we're uploading your content and then taking half of your money. Thanks for the hard work.
Right.
Right. And because I was, you know, I'm fortunate to have had enough money from like a day job where I could put out $2,000 for four of my 6 stand-up albums. I had to rent a club or a space to do it. So I'm shelling out money that I don't even know if it's coming back.
Right.
And so my point is I trusted in myself and I think it was the right decision, obviously. But I think with Aaron, he's a guy who's sort of the me on the production side. He's a guy who worked at Sirius for a long time and then wanted to do his own thing, understood the business, thought he could make his own way. He gives more favorable terms than, and he has some connections in terms of radio and things. Right. And the album, the first album was kind of easy. This one, he's earned every bit of what he's taken because he did things that I can't do. This isn't just a recording, a stand-up set. This is like, he actually, the music choices he made for this, that was like a production choice. Like he said, I'm thinking, he checked with me and said, I'm thinking I want to do like music on each track to kind of give it a different energy. And so that it's not just some spoken word humor album, but that there's like a new element to it.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, let's try it. And then I listened to his work and I was like, thank you. And I'm glad I put some trust in you. Cause obviously I'm very used to doing it all on my own. Mm-hmm. And I put some trust in you. Cause I think you're somebody of good character and good work ethic. And it made it so much
and
better.
Just hearing that track by itself, you can already hear the difference, you know, between the first album and this one.
Right.
Even like with the music and stuff, cause it does add like a different level to it, you know? And I think also it's really dope as a creative when you can find somebody that can vibe, that can kind of hit your wavelength, and enhance what you do already, because that's really all people are asking for. It's like, there's a lot of competition of ideas, and there's sometimes you can get better through competition of ideas, but it creates like an adversarial thing where it's like, I think you should do this. But then there's like the person that's, you know, to use an apt analogy, the Stockton to the Malone, you know, the one who's like, I'm not going to try to make the show all about me, but I will set an incredibly hard dirty pick on your defender so you can get this jumper.
Speaking of that, that's going to be one of the first. I'm actually, the other thing, now this is going to be something free, so I don't feel like I'm shamelessly promoting, but next week I'm recording in my apartment. We've already set up, like, I posted a picture to Twitter, but like, we've turned my apartment into like a quasi comedy club, like the living room. So I'm going to film, my birthday was Friday, so I turned 41 during.
Happy birthday, belated birthday.
Oh, thank you. I turned 41 during this, and I also got famous during this, and I have, like, I have a 45-minute set legit ready to go, and I've been doing Zoom shows. People have been hiring me for Zoom shows, so I've been actually able to workshop some of this COVID material. So I'm going to have a Covan 41 is going to be the name of the special, and it's going to be kind of a reward. I'll be like, thank you everybody for following. Now here's like my new hour. I'm not putting out as an album or anything. Right. It's just, here you go.
Oh, that's dope.
So that'll be fun.
Yeah, no, it's going to be really funny. Like, it's some of the old bits, but the Karl Malone, John Stockton thing is related to my parents, where I'm like, cause Rudy Gobert sort of started this whole thing. Mm-hmm. At least he made it even bigger. He basically helped shut down sports.
Yeah, so you're welcome.
Like, oh, that's the Jazz.
That was the alley-oop to you. That was
like, it was a reward. It was like thank you for supporting the Jazz all these years. It's time we paid it forward. No sports. No. Do your thing, JL.
You know what would really help, JL? If people couldn't go anywhere and they needed some release from Trump. This is the exact thing that we need right now. We need to laugh through this shit at Trump's expense.
Come on.
And not watch the NBA.
He looked at JL and said, you got the apple juice.
It's so crazy, man. This whole thing is just nuts, because I think had this not happened, and we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but I feel like had this not happened, I just would have been like, oh, I put out some videos that like did okay. But it's like, I don't know. This is all weird. But the Fireside Crafts and Somebody Thank You posted it in the chat. But yeah, it's available for pre-sale now on iTunes. So obviously
it'll be in the show notes as well. Just want to let people, it'll be in the show notes as well. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
Thank you. So no. So it's, like I said, I already gave my pitch. It will be also on, first, it'll be on Pandora, Apple Music, and Amazon. We didn't put it on Spotify because they don't pay anything. Mm. And we didn't put it on
Tidal.
Google Play because they put it up for free.
Oh.
I don't think he put it on Tidal.
Yeah, so they're probably saying, probably don't pay or something. I know they pay more to Spotify, but.
No. They definitely pay. I guess it didn't come up. I didn't. Okay. He went through a list, but he didn't. We definitely, all I remember is we excluded Spotify because they pay terribly. Like,
that's what I heard.
We went the Taylor Swift route.
Yeah. Tay Tay out here trying to get these artists paid. I feel you, sis. Okay. They slept on you.
I do. I will say this. I know that she's a very divisive topic on this show, but
not to me.
No, I know that. But from an artist perspective, she's in a weird way what I, if I got big, never as big as her, but if I even became like, headline, people know me, like, big comedian, that's sort of what I would want to do with my power, because I keep thinking there's a chance now that I become a headliner from this, that people start to see my stand-up. That's the trick now, is like, I'm trying to gear people towards other, that's why I want to put out this special that will have, the only Trump will be Trump doing like the voiceover to introduce me for the special, and I want to see if I can get a lot of people to sort of, oh, I have your attention. Now check out 45 minutes of non-Trump stand-up. If you like that, then great. Now I have a new fan for my broader platform. But I thought to myself, like, if I go start headlining clubs, I'm not going to ruffle feathers my first go around.
Right.
But I'm going to have to tell clubs, I'm not bringing a feature.
Right.
Because I don't want to shut new people off from opportunities the way I was. Like, if I'm doing theaters, I'm bringing my own person. If I'm recording an album, I bring, you know, Chris Lambert because, like, well, this is my show. This is, like, my individually produced show. But, like, I'm the type of person, I've been bitching about this for years. I'm keeping it open. I want to feature people to have those slots open so they can get better.
Right.
But I would be like, you got to give my feature a hotel.
Right.
And you got to give them 150, him or her, him or her.
Okay, or them. Okay, I see you, King.
150 a show.
Right.
Now, if that has to come out of my check, so be it. But that's, if I ever get the power to pull that off, then I can start to spread that message like, hey, this is what I'm doing. come to death row.
Right.
No, this is what I'm doing.
Get over here.
Let's try to change this business to help people. I'm not talking about you need to do, I need you to change your whole structure, but it's like raise the price of French fries $1 and you've got your extra 50 a show for middle acts. Give them a hotel so that somebody from Denver can work in Philly and not be like not be doing it pro bono, just in the hope that they can become really good.
Right.
So, you know, I hope to be the Taylor Swift of comedy.
First of all, bravo. Okay. Cause Tay-Tay has done a lot for people that people don't recognize.
Come on. People are benefiting from the shit she did and don't even know that she was the one that allowed them to make that money.
Mm-hmm. She also is an advocate and supports a lot of people, but you know, she doesn't say that all day. So I guess people don't, you know, they want to sleep on it. But, the other thing too, that's interesting is like, I wonder how this shutdown will affect the comedy clubs when it comes back, because you know, depending on what they're, you know, how they make their money, if there's still a lane for that, if people feel comfortable being in a room with everyone projectile putting molecules into the air and all that stuff, it might change the game in a way where they'll either use it to justify being even shittier to comics, or they can have an opportunity to be like, let's reframe this thing from the ground up, because you know, it's almost like I need hazard pay if I'm going to walk in this fucking room and everyone's just shooting germs at me on the stage. So it'll be interesting to see which way that the industry takes that. I forgot one more thing.
Yeah.
Or comedians have found a way to monetize this shit at home now.
Right.
And go around the club and you know, it's not the same, but if I'm finding money that you wouldn't pay me from doing this shit in my living room, there's a chance I don't want to go back. Like, maybe this will be a thing that helps people kind of find some value in themselves.
Yeah, and the clubs will actually have to coerce people to come.
Yeah, that's what
I'm
saying.
Right?
Like, cause if I've been able to do Zoom shows and get paid the same or more than what I was getting before, then why the fuck would I give you any of that? Like, I can do that shit in my house, you know? And audiences are finding that shit funny, if they're like, hey, I'm gonna go to this Zoom show and watch this comedian from the comfort of my own house, there's a chance that those people still wanna see that even when we're going back outside. Maybe not the same amount of people, but there's a chance it's like, oh, I found a new thing. You know what I'm saying? People find podcasts, people find YouTube, people find a Netflix show or something during the quarantine that they go, oh, well, that I'm gonna keep. So we actually don't know what people are gonna take out of this.
Yeah, it's, I will say, somebody asked in the chat if you can hear people laugh during a Zoom show. And they can set it so that people can be like unmuted or whatever, so that you can hear like response. I've done both. I've done shows with people unmuted and muted, and it's obviously a little weirder with the muting, but you get used to it, you know, because, and you know, it's been good training for this podcasting, honestly, because you're trying to tell stories, be funny. And you're just, especially when I do like Righteous Prick, it's me and my computer and I'm going, I think this is good or interesting or funny. And people go, oh, I was laughing so much at that. So it's without podcasting, I feel like that would be much weirder.
Yeah.
But at least I'm used to like talking into a computer with no one.
And also like it gives you that kind of confidence, right? Because you know what works for you from the feedback you've gotten from your audience over the past however many years. So you're like, okay, when I do this impression, people fucking love this. Now, it's not the immediate feedback of a crowd, but you know, if you get that reply, you get that email, you get that direct message, or man, you fucking, oh, this is so now you have that confidence that you built up over time talking into nothing,
right?
Knowing that the shit is funny, and that makes all the fucking difference. I'm sure there's a lot of comedians struggling right now, cause this, you know, they're on the ground zero. They're like, I hope this shit is funny. This is not a muscle I've worked on. This is not a skill I have.
At me, Chappelle and Seinfeld.
Yeah. Come on, baby. Bring it.
Yeah, I agree that it is a muscle, and, comedians that have done podcasts, particularly for a very long time. Like you said, they've worked that muscle. It's almost like they have an advantage. Like they're in the AG class and everybody else is like in the 101s and trying to figure it out. It's like y'all have already been through the learning curve and they're trying it out.
And they have a built-in digital audience.
Correct.
Like I'm already downloading you every week. What's one more click? Right. They'll be like, oh yeah, let me check out this YouTube thing. Let me do that. And then of course the viral video. I mean, this is like hitting on all cylinders for you right now. Someone did ask a couple of questions in the chat for you though. Well, number one, what place should people buy it so that you make the most money?
Oh, well, thank you. Basically, I think iTunes, if you're buying, it's going to be available for purchase like iTunes and Amazon. And I think iTunes pays a little bit better per album. So iTunes is the best place. The more pre-orders, the better, because that'll lock us in as like a number one debut. And then we're hoping to have like, you know, like a week long stretch where we, until Mike Kaplan comes with his machine gun on May 8th.
Bow, AKA.
JL was number one and he's 6'7". I've bumped him down to 7th because with my 6th album, I am now number one. iTunes is the best place, I guess.
They also said
one thing I was going to say. Oh, sir.
Well, they also had one more question. What way of purchasing helps your stats the most?
Wow, very nice questions. Thank you for the support. As I've said many times, amazing fan base. But I guess iTunes works. You know, they all like. And if you're a streamer, if you are a person who streams, like I get it, you pay a subscription. Obviously, I'd appreciate if you're on some platform and you could buy it on another platform. But if money's tight or you already have a subscription and that's what you want to use. I will say Pandora is I think probably the best paying streaming service. But obviously everything counts. Like it all counts. So I don't want to like force anybody, but if you have an option, a choice, a little bit of money, obviously a purchase and iTunes would be the place.
It's okay, JL. They did ask. They asked. So you're not grifting. You know what I mean? They want to know how to help. This was not for those who can't or, you know, have to stream it or whatever, that's cool. But yeah, this person wants to know if they have options, what's the best way. The other thing too, I do this all the time. I'll listen to someone's album and stream it and then just go buy it on iTunes. Cause I'm like, once I've streamed it, especially if it's really good, I'm like, well, shit, man, you should get something from this other than just my streams if I can afford it or whatever. The last one we did that with was, Mike B. Oh, Mike B. Promote Mike B. We, checked out that. It was so funny. I was like, even though I've heard the album and I can hear it anytime I want, I'm still would rather him have the money. You know, it's just one purchase, but shit, who knows, man? These days, like, one purchase goes a long way. So everybody, you know, cause people don't come off of money as much as they used to buy shit. So, you know, you can see people go up to number one in the comedy charts, number this, and you think in your mind, like, that motherfucker must have had 1,000,000 people buy it. It's like, no, you don't need as many people anymore. Partially because people are so entitled. They don't, like, paying for something now is almost like a badge of support for a person more so than just a badge of entertainment, because we're so used to getting everything either really like cheap or free,
right?
You know?
Yeah. And that's what I guess is nice right now where I'm at, is that people see that this is the moment. And I had a guy, a friend of mine, you know, work friend, but we get along, we text and stuff, who said to me, he felt like I was doing too much promotion now. You know, and most of the things I'm promoting are free. You know what I mean? It's like, listen to my podcast. It's like, buy the albums, but then check the videos out, listen to the podcast. All that's free. So I don't feel like I'm digging into people's pockets too much.
Right.
But it was like, I realized it was one of those things where he was saying this to me. I just ignored the text because I felt like I might have like ended a friendship if I had responded in the moment. Because after 16 years of feeling like a volunteer in stand-up comedy, I'm like, this is stuff that I've already put out. And now I have the audience that I kind of always felt I would either get or deserved, if I can use that word. Like, I felt like I've been here for a while and now I'm getting the amount of people following me that I think I've earned. And now I want to make sure though that they see, hear, and if they're willing to support the other things I've put out. And I just thought it was funny. I was like, you know, other than weird racist comments that I've gotten from Trump supporters, it's like, that bothered me because I was just like, I don't think you get it. Like, I know maybe you liked me when I was just Mr. Struggling.
Yeah.
Hey man, my career sucks, but here I am being funny. I'm keeping it real. And I'm like, right. I'm still keeping it real. I'm just like, now that you're a new fan, can you go check out the 10 years of production?
I think you should have, because I think you should have replied back with a link to the album, like, go buy my album.
Yeah,
because that's it's such a, because one is such a bullshit point, because like, one, this is, you got to strike when the iron's hot, right? Promotion at this point is because you have something to promote. This isn't even like you be like, this isn't even just you being like, let me promote.
Venmo me. People have asked me if they can Venmo me for support. I'm like, I've told like 15 people who've messaged me like, hey, do you have a PayPal or a Venmo I can hook you up with? And I'm like, here's what you do. You want to give me $50? Go buy 5 albums.
Right.
I get the money. If you don't listen to them, it's a donation. If you exactly. listen to them and you like some of them, it's a win-win for everybody. And like, so this, I'm not in this for like, right. hey, hook me up with some cash, you know, if you right. like, want to tip me. Like, no, I didn't become a comedian right. to work for tips.
But you're also earning your money, man. And it's not just that, yeah. but like, promotion is part of the thing. What would happen is if you had management, if you had a company, they just be doing the shit for you. It's not like,
yes.
like, so to me, you know, that's like coming at David for like, damn, you really gonna throw that stone at Goliath? Like, yes, motherfucker, this is what I have. Like, that's the point. I can't not, this is not the time for me to be passive or be like too cool to do the fucking job. This is also the job. You know what I mean? I think also
right.
a lot of comedians and people in general, it's creatives in general, but let's go with comedy. A lot of comedians have done this thing where they're like too cool to do the fucking job.
Right.
And it's like, who do you think you are? You're not special. Everybody who's come in this thing has had to do this job. Like, you, like, it sucks. You know, I'll give you a great example. Monty Jones brought it up. He was talking about, I think, Matt Patricia, the coach mm-hmm. for the Detroit Lions. And and he used to be a Belichick guy. And he dresses like he's Bill fucking Belichick, right? Sweats and shit. Yeah. And he has, like, a list of stuff for, like, players to look professional. And he went on a rant about how the media should look, like, professional and shit. And Bo's like, who the fuck are you? You're no one right now, you know? And right. you also should dress up. And, I'll, you know, not dress up out of some respectability shit, but on some, you have to show that there's a buy-in to a certain extent on your success. Like, I want to be successful. I want to do this. And for comedians, part of that is promotion. Like, part of that is, hey, I got to get the word out here. I got to, you know, if I can buy an advertisement on some platform, that's a small investment in myself. If I can go on a podcast, that's a small investment in myself. This is only right. you feeding you. So to knock that is like trying to knock the fucking plate out of your hand or what. Like, you really gonna eat your own food? Yes, bitch. This is what the fuck is happening when it's not catered.
And that's what bothered me about it, only because it was like, and this, like I said, he's a friend and he's not a comedian. So it's
well, he's not my friend. Fuck that nigga. Okay. come see me, the Black Guy Tips in these streets. Nah, I'm just kidding.
But it was one of those things where I was like, so if I get now making podcasts great again, and I wanted to take a screenshot because you're always number one in comedy, but now making podcasts great again has been number four for the last like 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So I like seeing that. I'm like, on my oh, heels. Look, there it is. The mentor, the teacher and the student are on the top row of the podcast chart. But but I said, we're getting a couple, we might have a couple of advertisers for the show now. Now we've reached like a Yay. Certain level of listeners. And to me, I go, what's worse? What's more of a sellout move? If we're talking right. sellout move, me saying, hey, if you have a couple bucks, check out our Patreon.
Right.
And also check out my other podcast, which is free.
Right.
Or, hey guys, buy some mattresses from this mattress right. company. Use our code, promo code, yeah. JL's a fucking tall goofy motherfucker.com. And like, what's more of it? If we're talking like
right.
too much commercialization, isn't that more, isn't that worse?
But, like, but it's also
part of our podcast to talk up ads.
Oh, I'm sorry. Carrie, you go ahead. My bad.
Oh, no problem. Sure. And something I wanted to add, JL, and people kill me with the promotion thing. They only tell that to individual people or people that they're thinking not big. I don't ever hear nobody saying, I'm tired of these fucking McDonald's commercials. I'm right. tired of Taco Bell commercials. Another goddamn Coca-Cola commercial. You never ever hear that.
Conan O'Brien is doing too much promotion.
Right. You never hear it from big companies because
just do the show. Stop putting up ads, Conan.
Yeah, right. People will watch or they won't watch. This is enough. Like, also, like, if that's not good enough for a billionaire company or a fucking millionaire comedian, like if even that person's like, nah, you gotta kind of put out ads for this shit, even with me being Chris Rock, then you can't be like, I'm JL Covan, fuck Chris Rock, I'm smarter than him, watch how I do this with no promotion,
right? And it doesn't work like that. And also the thing is, a lot of people, I feel like when people say I'm tired of you promoting, all they're saying is that I don't have anything in my life to promote. This might be me just self-reflecting, because a lot of times when you start, unless you have a built-in audience, nobody knows who the fuck you are. Right. So unless you get your own bullhorn and say, I'm over here, come look at me, I'm over here, come look at me, nobody's gonna look in your direction. It's like, how do you expect me to make money, make a living, make advertising, make this thing bigger without self-promotion? And the thing is, a lot of people are afraid to self-promote. It's people out there today, hear my voice, they got all these great ideas, go, I'm afraid to self-promote. Well, do you like money or not? Like, I hate to be like that. Do you like people giving you things and talking about it and pushing it out into the social media platform? Do you like things being by word of mouth? The only way it spreads is by people knowing, and people don't know unless you self-promote.
Yep.
And that's, I think that's particularly, not trying to be funny, and then I get off top, particularly with like brown and black and marginalized people, we are some of the worst people with self-promotion. We have, because we've been taught, you don't toot your own horns, you don't brag, you don't tell about how good you are, you don't talk about your talents, you know, because JL, you're very, very good at what you do. So I see nothing wrong with you saying, bitch, I'm good at this, acknowledge me, look my way, and pay me for what I'm worth.
And also, like, even if you did get to the point where you were reading ads on your show, there's nothing wrong with that either. Like, that's
of course.
Yeah, that's also not a self, just in case people out there, you know, are listening or whatever, you know, cause like these motherfuckers, let me tell you who don't never have a problem with this shit, y'all. White people.
Right.
These motherfuckers be making money.
And they can be mediocre as shit.
Yeah, like, you listen to like a white person podcast, they will slip and slide right into that same ad that you didn't get. Like that so easily. Like, and they're getting money, and I'm not knocking them for it.
No.
I'm saying the last hold up I'm gonna have, like, you'll never see me be like, yeah, we just didn't want to do no ad reads because, you know, we ain't want to sound like that type of, no, nigga, I do want to sound like that. I want to sound paid.
Right. Because, and the thing is, shit costs money. Right. And when people consume, they never think about cost. Yes, something might be free to you, but to put it out so you can hear it on whatever platform or device you are, somebody had to invest some money somewhere. It literally is not free.
And when we like we can, like JL said, we can be number one on Podomatic all the fucking time, but most of the ads that we've ever gotten have been people that like came to us to be like, oh, just I heard of your show or whatever, or you know, we're interested in running this thing. That we don't really get in that machine, you know, that white machine that kind of monetizes shit already.
Right.
So, you know, maybe that's one of the reasons it's hitting us this way. But if it wasn't for self-promotion, what fucking promotion would we have? That, you know, I would never want to see anyone knock somebody for quote unquote promoting too much, because there is no such thing as too much.
Right. And I'm sorry, JL, to go off on a tangent, but that thing hit me wrong because, you know, because
well, it hit
I
me
know
wrong as well.
Right.
I just held my tongue because I didn't want to end, like, I could have said things that would have been like, you know what? Lose my number.
Right.
Fuck you. Go, P.S. Go buy all my albums.
Right. Yeah. Promote this.
Yeah. I didn't mean to get mad on your behalf, but I know that's... if it was not for self-promotion, what we have, we would not have.
Right.
And he's a friend who has been for a few years saying, man, you should really be doing more. You should be bigger than you are. You're very talented. So that's all nice.
Right.
But it like switched very quickly to like, hey man, that's too much promotion. I was like, this is the first time I had 4,200 Twitter followers a month ago.
Right.
I have 82,000 right now. I don't want to be the guy. I'm happy with Trump. Like, correction, having the Trump impression.
Right.
I'm happy to have that and have that draw people in.
Right.
But as I've said to many people, and people don't believe me because they project their own sort of things on, but I'm the guy who doesn't shop at Amazon, doesn't do Facebook. Right. That has hurt my career.
Right.
But I felt personally like I didn't want to be on Facebook anymore. I'm not doing Trump if he wins re-election. Like,
right.
That shit ends with the second term. Like, if he gets a second term, I will do some rap shit at the end of the year.
Right.
Make some more jokes, make a little bit more money. And then I'm like, I'm out because it's not funny. It's, we still have this. Trump to me is dark humor right now because right. There's an escape hatch in November. We can get out of this.
Mm-hmm.
And God damn it, Joe Biden. I don't know if we're going to get to this, but please. If it's not Stacey Abrams, please make it Kamala Harris.
Yeah,
like, do so, not.
Come on, don't go with Klobuchar. You can't go with Klobuchar on this.
I like Klobuchar, but you can't. You can't do it.
Not even that woman from Michigan, like, as Trump called her, the woman from Michigan. Not even her. Like, you can't. No, it has to be a black woman. I would take Val Dennings. I would take, like, you can still sell Val Dennings, but if this motherfucker, but see, I'm not as worried about that as other people, because I think this is that thing that they did to Hillary, and they do it to Obama every once in a while, where they just completely baselessly speculate, like, to rile everyone up, to be like, you know, Barack Obama said that he secretly may possibly have, there's a rumor, we don't know for sure, that he actually hates Joe Biden. And it's like, well, now everyone's gonna go off like he said it, but we have zero proof he said it. You know, Hillary Clinton said she may join the race. I'm like, there's no fucking proof of this. She, as much as she talks, because she has let us know every day, she's woke up and sent at least one tweet to let us know, like, I was right, you motherfuckers. She would have said, like, I think I can beat all these people, I'm gonna join the race. So, like, but they do it to rile us up so we'll be like that. So I'm hopeful that some of these reports are, because I've seen stuff that looked almost inflammatory, JL. Like, news reports with, like, three pictures, and it would be, like, Klobuchar, Warren, and some white lady you've never heard of. So, like, no mention of Stacey Abrams, no mention of Kamala Harris, no mention of Val Dennings. It's like, you made that to piss us off.
Right.
Right. That's obviously a tangent, but I'm a huge Stacey Abrams proponent, because after I read that book that I talked about with Randolph on Woke Files, One Person, No Vote, if I can recommend, I don't know if you've read it, but highly recommend. Mm-hmm. It just made me realize that this voter suppression shit is, like, other than climate change,
right,
for me, voter suppression and election rights is
number,
like,
one.
Right up there, because it's, if our elections are open, Democrats win. Like,
every
time. That's the ball game is, it's already, the team is stacked in favor of Republicans losing. So we just need the rules to be fair, and then it's over. So the fact that she's so focused on that, but that was a side tangent. My whole point was about promotion. I'm trying to get people to look at my other stuff. It's not just about money. It's a little bit about money, but it's also, hey, in February 2021, when I have 100,000 followers and a successful podcast or whatever, and a lot of YouTube subscribers, do enough of them know my stand up? Do enough of them know that I'm do other impressions and have 6 stand up albums and can headline with ease and can be their new favorite comedian? Because Trump hopefully is done, but I'm done with Trump.
Right.
Like, at the end of this year, because, like I said, there is no end, like, there is no light at the end of the tunnel if he gets reelected.
Exactly.
Then we're looking at Don Jr. or Ivanka running.
Right.
We're looking at environmental destruction, mm-hmm. more voter suppression, more anti-LGBTQ judges, and it's like unreal. Like, you're going to have a Supreme Court that will likely have 5 Trump judges, not Republican judges. You're going to have 5 Trump, because I hate to say it, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, I don't think she's going to serve till she's 100. Clarence Thomas will resign next term if Trump gets reelected. So now you're already at 4 Trump judges. That means the farthest of the far right. He's probably going to try and appoint, like, a 42-year-old Nazi to the fucking Supreme Court. So it's not funny anymore. So I need people to sort of enjoy the humor while it's here, and steer enough of them into other podcasts, my stand-up, because it's just as good. And that's why I'm doing – that's the bigger reason for the promotion. Because let me tell you, if I was headlining clubs, making $5,000 a week, headlining as this event, I'm not that concerned about whether Righteous Prick has ads. Right. I'm not as concerned if everybody's subscribing to me on YouTube.
Right.
But that's what I have now. I don't have that tour date money coming in, and I may not have it for a long time.
And you're not going to get it without promotion anyway. So, like, right, even exactly. Bringing it full circle to even get to the point where you could be like, you know what? No ads on this show ever. You got to be making money from somewhere, you know? Like, it just, yeah. Anyway. But so also, it could just be him not understanding the business. Who fucking knows? You never know with these motherfuckers. All right, guys. Let's get into some news. All right. That was a long intro. Fireside Crops 2. The Deuce. Available for pre-order on iTunes, available streaming everywhere except Spotify, possibly not Tidal. We'll check on that. So make sure you guys get that, man. Big week. Pre-order if you can.
Mm-hmm.
It's always dope when you see people take that screenshot of that, you know, hey, my album's number one. You know,
it's
always like a dope moment for everybody. So I hope JL gets that.
This is the one where, since I've already had two albums, and the funny thing is Fireside Crops 1 spent like the last week in the top five, and it were won like 2 weeks ago. So it's,
woo-hoo!
It's had this huge second life that was much bigger than the first. But like I said, the new album, the ambitious goal is Billboard, like top of Billboard comedy charts, which is much more ambitious, but I think possible. So all the purchases help for that. So thank you in advance.
All right, let's get to the news, y'all. First of all, breaking news, Kim Jong-il is alive. Kim Jong-un, the Lil Kim. He's alive.
Bill was his dad, I think.
Okay, yeah, he's alive, supposedly. He's alive and well, according to South Korean official. Foreign policy.
I don't know what to believe.
Well, this is why I read the news over here.
I hear them, but...
All right, well, you know what? Fuck it, guys.
Go ahead.
Doesn't matter. Hey, believe what you want to believe.
It matters.
We pick our own facts here at the Blackout Tips, and we are...
I'm just trying to be controversial.
Officially, One American
Spice
News.
Spice it up for you.
One American News over here, guys. We just, we're freestyling it today. Foreign policy advisor... Chung In-moon said South Korea's government position is firmly that the despot is not dead. The aide said Kim had been living in the Wonsan area of the country since April 13th, adding to Fox, no suspicious movements have so far been detected. Kim has not been seen publicly since April 11th, when he led a meeting of the ruling Workers' Party Committee policymakers, according to North Korea state media. North Korea has never announced who was to see Kim in the event of his death, but analysts believe his sister, Kim Yo-jong, would likely take over until his children grow up. So yeah, right now they're saying they don't think he's dead, but yeah, there's a lot of mixed information coming out.
Yeah, because I guess as nobody's seen him, they're like, but we hadn't seen him. What's happening here? Is he sick? Like, what is happening?
Yeah, people have said he's a Japanese media outlet claimed he was in a vegetative state after he underwent heart surgery earlier this month. Vice Director of Hong Kong Satellite Television, Shi Jian Xingzhou, has claimed a very solid source told her Kim is dead. So there's a lot of floating information. TMZ was out here like, he dead. And I was like, TMZ got a pretty good track record these last 10 years. So I just feel bad for Dennis Rodman, you know.
Oh, he going through.
Dennis Rodman. Kim Jong-il. He's a great man. He's a great man. You don't understand. This man loves basketball. He loves... And you insult him. You insult him.
Try not to laugh over you. My bad.
He's a legend. That's the only nigga in the world that's gonna feel bad about this. I saw people, it was a Kim Jong-il party, on Twitter. People was already getting it off like, yes, he's going to hell. Like, I was like, poor Dennis Rodman. He ain't gonna have nobody to console with.
Listen to me. I know this man. This man is a great man. He loves basketball.
Oh my goodness.
It was like, is it true that his, according to his stats, is it true that he averaged 97 points a game in the, North Korea basketball league, Dennis? Like.
Listen, I don't want to talk about that. That's a great man. With a great jump shot.
What about the rumors that he killed all of his generals, by cannonball, just last week?
listen. Sometimes, okay, I'm Dennis Rodman, and sometimes a great man do tough things, okay? Okay? And, like Michael Jordan, he had a killer instinct.
Yeah, Dennis Rodman almost got a peace between us and them just off of the strength of his relationships with Trump and Kim Jong-un, man. So, you know, this is going to put back a lot of work because I don't know if he was ever working with the sister.
I used to have, like, normal Dennis Rodman, like, and I forgot already what it was, but it was kind of like, this is talking about, I'm Dennis Rodman, and that's
yeah.
trying to get more rebounds. But then he went to North Korea and turned into a professional wrestler.
That day,
that man has love. That man loves this country. He loves it. And I don't take any of these questions. I don't have any of these questions. He loves his people.
If you guys ever get a chance, go on YouTube. There's a Dennis Rodman interview where he had that basketball team of all those washed up has-beens that came to Korea with him to play. And they have no idea that he's about to go on the Kim Jong-un, like, this is the best motherfucker of all time. I love him. They don't know that he's about to do that. They're just there for basketball. And so when Dennis takes it political and starts crying and shit, you can just see like Charles Smith's face like glaze over into like, this was a horrible decision.
Who decided this?
What's funny is that like he was always known for that. He was like a solid player.
Yeah.
But he had that like time he got blocked like four times by the Bulls where like if he had been able to go up strong and finish, they win the game.
Yep.
The North Korea footage was worse. Like,
yes.
That's actually worse. A worse legacy now.
I love this man.
They like, and then they like, you know, try to ask the other people questions and shit. Like, so what are you thinking going to North Korea to play basketball? Charles Smith is just like, I just thought that, you know, there was a lot of people, you know, that wanted to see basketball. And it's like, the Dennis is over there like, we were trying to bring everyone together. It's like, damn, Charles, like, you can't talk your way out of it. You really got to blink for the next 5 minutes until you can get to commercial and hope they don't come back to you.
Blink SOS.
So good. You guys check it out.
Donald Trump and Kim Jong-il. Great people. I love these men. They love their country.
Rafer Austin's just sitting there in the corner like, fuck. Jussie Smollett's lawsuit for malicious prosecution against Chicago PD has been thrown out by a federal judge, y'all.
Good. Don't waste taxpayers' money and time. It's more important thing. People are dying from COVID-19. Don't nobody care.
This is a thing now where I feel like both parties should stop being petty. It's like the thing where it's gone on so long where maybe you were interested in these two people fighting, and then at some point it becomes like, who the fuck cares about this, guys? Much more important news is happening. But I'm sure it's very important to both parties, Chicago police, because he wasted their time and, you know, framed an already guilty racist police precinct with fake guilty racist bullshit. And then also, like, for him or whatever, there's, like, they're still going after him, but for him, he's like, I'ma still try to sue y'all because y'all didn't do it right. It's like, dog, let it go. Everyone's over it. Everyone's moved on. So it would be funny if both parties could just like have a mutual like COVID-19 truce. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, listen, guys, maybe when we can come back outside, we can resume our beef. But for now, we just need to let it go. Cause I don't know who's still invested in this, other than the both of them, you know?
Yeah.
All right. Coronavirus news, guys. There's some,
We got some music.
Oh shit. I didn't pull up the coronavirus music.
If I may, as a fan, the first rap you played was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was fun. It was funny. But it was also good. I forget what the name of it was, but it was like probably a week ago or so.
Yeah, I got I saved all of them that we played already. I just wanted to see like what kind of grifting.
Yeah, we just going through the
was
list.
Going on out here with people who just like said, because like think about how cynical and fucked up you have to be. Coronavirus is out here killing people, And somebody was like, dog, people are going to be putting coronavirus into Spotify and they're going to be searching for shit. So I'm going to take my shitty rap or my, you know what I mean? Like, I'm going to take whatever I can to get the fucking like coronavirus boost. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like I have to hear them all now. You know what I mean?
We have a coronavirus list after a while. We just say my favorites.
The ones at the top were really good. Like, mm-hmm. I'm not knocking those. Mm-hmm. Like, that one rap was amazing. The dude was like, I'm not trying to get the coronavirus. Like, he was amazing. I think G-Mac Cash. But some of these people are so fucking, it's so messed up what they're doing. But I have to hear them. Let's see. So here's one. Charlatan 6ix9ine and El Sinvergiu. I don't know how you pronounce this guy's name. This is their coronavirus song.
Mira, mira, maldito chino, echa pa allá, maldito chino.
I listen to the language.
El coronavirus, el coronavirus, el coronavirus. Cuidado que viene un chino. El coronavirus, el coronavirus, el coronavirus. Cuidado que viene un chino. One ding dong, one ding, one dang denja. One ding dong, one ding, one dang denja. One ding dong, one ding, one dang denja. One ding dong, one ding, one dang denja.
Is this even another language?
Yo no compro pica pollo ni que me lo regale. Ella te vaya porque yo tengo los metales. Tengo los metales. Maldito chino, te doy en la cabeza porque un garpino.
Uno es grande, uno es maleante. Tú sabes que andamos forrados de diamante. En la cabeza tengo un Rolex. Y en los pies tengo un Hoyos. El coronavirus, el coronavirus, el coronavirus. Cuidado que viene un chino. El coronavirus, el coronavirus, el coronavirus. Cuidado que viene un chino. El coronavirus, el coronavirus, el coronavirus. Cuidado que viene un chino. El coronavirus, el coronavirus, el coronavirus. Cuidado que viene un chino. ¡Achú! El Dios sabay. Eso fue el chino de ahorita que me lo pegó. Déjame llegar ya. Chino el diablo, tú me pegaste tu maldita vaina. Oye, que
you know what? I'll take it back. I like it after a while. It's not as good as that rap.
He sounds like he's on like, first he sounded like somebody who might be hearing impaired, but then later he sounds like a guy who's on one of those like voice changers, like
yeah,
trying to hide your identity.
And then at one point I don't think that was any language. Like, there's like some of it that, like, some of it is clearly Spanish, but
yeah,
then
cause I was picking up bits and pieces, yes.
There was parts where he was just like, he was Adam Sandler playing basketball. Alright, I don't think that's a word. Alright, so here's the coronavirus. Jay, this is such an inside joke, but, I was, on Twitter, and like, one of those accounts like Ball is Life or Hoop, whatever, they put up a video of Adam Sandler like playing pickup basketball, and he's really good. Like, I've seen it before, but this one they had even more highlights, and I just, like, at first I was just like, man, that, like, I want to play ball with Adam Sandler, like, that would be cool. But then also I was thinking, like, it would not be funny to be the dude that he gave buckets to, because everybody would just be talking straight shit to you, like, how you gonna let Adam Sandler score on you? Like, oh, you gonna let Waterboy give you buckets like that? Aww. You know, like, Bobby Boucher over here crossing your ass up. That's why we losing. You know, and so I, immediately the humor part of it left, because I was just like, yeah, that's actually a nightmare to be guarding this motherfucker. He's killing you with my friends. Nah, you'll never live it down. But then JL brought up this idea of being like, he's like, I should lose weight and then do a sketch as Adam Sandler, the movie where, like, his version of Big, like, tall or whatever.
I want to be 6'7". I want to play in the NBA. And then he goes to a park where he's been getting, like, picked on and dunked on, and then shows up me, like, 6'7", 245. I'm like, now you're all in big trouble.
And that was
slam dunk on you.
That was the thing. I could not stop myself from laughing all morning thinking of Adam Sandler ad-libs of him just scoring on people and just saying shit from like the movies, or just, you know, like a googly goo.
Game points would be the time where I would do a step back and go, this is how I win. Yeah. I really want to do this sketch. I may just go out by my, like, see if people will socially distance themselves on my local park and just like film this.
I can't like that. That would be so be good. Oh man,
my best is your happy, idea to use
Happy Stretch 4 instead of Happy Stretch 4.
My jump is so hot. Oh man. All right. So, and then also like, man, when we can, like play basketball again, you could get other people to be in that and do the like, man, you letting this Happy Madison motherfucker score on you? Like, you could get people to do that shit. Cause to me, like half the fun is if you get scored on by Chandler, people are going to talk shit to you. Cause yeah, he's not even cause he's not good. It's cause he's Adam Sandler, which is even more fucked up cause right. He is good. So he should get buckets, but some motherfuckers gonna be like, oh, so Billy Madison got, he killing you right now.
And you just confuse everybody because his like trash talk will be like clips from the movies. He'd be like doing the crossover talking about, I rubbed her boobs and I like them too. Yeah. And everybody confused like, the fuck he talking about? And he just goes past them.
Yeah, I bet in real life he probably hates that shit. You know what I mean? But I don't know. I would just, if I ever played ball with him, I'd have to be like, oh, Mr. D's from 3. Like, I got to do it, man. All right. Coronavirus. Very, very serious coronavirus news, guys. AMC will hold off on reopening doors until the summer, despite these governors talking about we're going to open up the economy and movie theaters and bowling alleys will be first. Yeah. They said they are not planning on opening up right now.
Right, they want to be sure they can make some money. That's like, the fuck we opening it up for nobody to come in here.
And also, no movies are out.
No, they're not.
As of right now, the next major release appears to be Tenet, the Christopher Nolan movie.
Oh, with John David Washington boy. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's July 17th. So there's a chance if they did open, they might open like a week or two before that.
And that's a maybe.
But yeah, I just don't know how you can do theaters and social distance. Mm-mm. And I don't think I would ever feel comfortable in the theater until.
And y'all know we love the theaters.
Yeah, until there's some type of vaccine or something.
I think what they'd have to do, I was talking to my girlfriend about this, but I think you'd have to like, and this is, I'm in the process. I'm going to try and write something about this in a bigger way because what, not to bring this into minimum wage jobs, but like the fact is we now see that $15 should be the absolute minimum for any job. And the idea that what you'd need is basically, I think if you're opening up theaters, you basically have to just sell half tickets. Like, you know, you've been in an AMC with the recliners, every other seat, unless you're in a couple, like if you're buying two tickets and that's your, you know, you two could sit together.
Right.
But then there has to be a seat because those are pretty big seats.
Right.
So if they could only sell like 2/3 capacity, like you can sit together if you're in a couple, everybody else, you have to, there will be a seat space between any other seat. Mm-hmm. And you'd have to have workers going in after every movie and not just sweeping up popcorn, but what you
wiping down the seats.
We now bought like $1 billion worth of wipes. Every leather seat gets wiped out. I would feel, not now, but if they did that in July, I'd be like, if that's the protocol now, then I'm willing to go to another, you know, go see a movie. But at the same time, you're going to have these states and, you know, all these ones that have like still the, I can't believe there's still like 20 states with like the federal minimum wage, which is $7.25.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of, you know, mostly red states.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But like the idea, like to me, if I have to clean movie theaters and stuff like thoroughly, I'd be like, yeah, I'll do that. That's $17.50 an hour, sir. Mm-hmm. Like that's what I'm going to need to do that.
Right.
I think there should be, I hope there are like massive walkouts of grocery stores, of movie theaters. When we get back to some kind of normal, there needs to be a real reckoning with people that labor has a value. And I'm not talking about, they earned thanks and bonuses with what they're doing. Like I thought about, like I've made, not to brag, but I've made a shit ton of money this month. I don't know that that's going to keep up. Right. But I genuinely want to go to my supermarket when this is over and give like, I know this sounds like ridiculous, but you know me, this is not a show off move. Right. It's like a justice move. And it's like, here's $100, here's $100, here's $100. Thank you. You kept us fed. You were the only place open.
Right.
I benefited from this nonsense. Mm-hmm. And I hope your employer is giving you, if they're not raising your wage, they better be giving you a nice bonus. I'm not talking about a $50 gift card Mm-mm. to use at the store.
Right.
And when it's all done, wages need to go up, period. Like, mm-hmm. this has to stop. Like, I know some businesses are like, we're raising wages for now. Mm-hmm. And then I'd be like, oh no, you didn't get the memo. Oh, you're raising wages permanently. Forever.
Right.
Here in July.
Right.
And I hope that happens. And I hope I once got into a debate with somebody over this where I had said $15 should be the minimum wage. This was like a blog I wrote like 5 years, 6 years ago. Because the stats, the adjusted income, it should be like $22.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And I said that and somebody said, you know, there's, and Carolla was kind of famous for this idea that like jobs that he and many others don't deem permanent jobs.
Right.
Like, you don't want to get too satisfied flipping burgers at McDonald's. If you're getting $19 an hour to flip burgers, you'll be fine. And I'm like, you'll be fine.
Right.
No, you'll just be like living. You'll be living now. You won't be like, fuck a degree.
And but also,
and smelling like grease.
But also, like, okay, well, two things. First of all, hold on. First of all, giving $100 to everybody that works at the.
Dang a leg. I'll be getting to the money. Everybody, man. Think I'm getting too much money. Everybody, man.
I want a couple of things just so I get covered by you.
Same old niggas on the block. Same old niggas with the clock. Same old niggas with the sugar. Everybody hated on the Danny Brown right back.
So first
you
of all,
this, JL.
First of all, I'm not for that bullshit. I don't want your biracial capitalism trying to fuck everything up at the grocery store. Okay, that is nothing but a flex on the poor.
I'm on JL's side.
That is the poor working class people getting flexed black celebrity class.
Ignore this black man, JL. He's just jealous.
That's part of the fucking problem. The second thing is. What would be so fucking horrible about somebody making a living wage and deciding, I actually do want to just make burgers? Like, that's right. Like, everyone always does that thing where, like, the conservatives always do this thing like, it's not supposed to be a permanent job. Right. But it's circular logic.
Also,
say that again.
I'm sorry. I was just saying. It's this idea of like when it's billionaires, you shouldn't tell them how to live their lives,
right.
How to spend their money. Let them do what they do.
Right.
They're the engine. Let them be and we will thrive. And then if it's like, well, I don't want this young man thinking that $16 to flip hamburgers is what his job should be. And if it is, isn't that freedom and liberty and capitalism?
And like also it's a circular argument. It shouldn't
speaking for the business class only.
But it's like it shouldn't be
argument. It's but for the business class is the one they're defending in both cases.
Right. And it's weird because it's like it shouldn't be a permanent job because why? Because it does, you don't make enough money for it to be a permanent job. Okay, but if you made enough money, then it could be a permanent job. It shouldn't be a permanent job. Like, what the fuck does this mean? It's a low paying job because it shouldn't be. Like, it's just circular bullshit where it's like, maybe you get better burgers if a motherfucker made $20
and better
making
customer
them.
Service.
Maybe,
like,
maybe the ice cream machine wouldn't always be down.
They would be sure if it was working.
Cause let me tell you, for $7.50, I worked at McDonald's. The ice cream machine was down, dog. You know what I mean? The ice cream machine needed to be down because I was down. You know what I mean? Okay. I hate to expose a big secret like that to McDonald's corporate America. Okay. But I think it's out of the statute of limitations. Okay. I was only 15. So I think that's interesting that people try to throw that bullshit out there. For somebody in the chat said that's socialism if he's giving his money away. No, that's charity. That's black capitalism. He made the money by earning it by doing a job. That was the capitalism part. And it sounds like if he can do something like that, it's more than me, which makes him a bad black capitalist, okay? If it was the same amount or less, okay. Mm-hmm. I'm okay with that until I make that amount. When I make as much as JL, then we can talk about whether or not that's a good thing.
And my thing, when people make, y'all talking about the low wages arguments and people act like it's a teenage job. Have y'all seen teenagers? Most thing that you just talk to be like, bitch, I'm going to work at the mall. I don't want that job. I don't want to come home smell like fries. And even if they did, my thing is this. A lot of McDonald's are 24 hours. Bitch, who's working in there at 2 a.m.? Not no teenagers.
And if you go into a fucking McDonald's, it's not just teenagers. It's this stuff where a lot of Republicans like to do anecdotal logic when it comes to like this, because statistically it's not true. Those jobs are not move on jobs. Those jobs are permanent jobs for most people.
Right.
They also are jobs for people who have more than one job. They also don't provide health care. They also don't allow you to work enough hours to get insurance. There's this big ass hustle happening, and then they're in on the game. But to try to be like, cause they, it makes them like, it makes their dick harder to say how, you know, I work a certain type of way, and the reason I'm not doing that is cause I'm a better person than that person. And as long as they believe that, we'll always have people defending that bullshit.
Yeah. Gotta do the business angle and the, sorry.
Oh, go ahead, JM.
Thank you. They do the business angle to support business, and then they bring in that like false morality to like hammer people's life choices. And the way I look at it, is our economy, the only industries growing are tech and service jobs. So you can't, and Carolla, I bring him up again because, you know, I obviously was listening and on that show for a while, and it was just one of the things that I always was bothered by, and his audience seemed to really embrace it, is this idea that like everybody can be Elon Musk or Terry Crews. That was like another, like he talked about how Terry Crews painted portraits and did things like in the off season when he was cut from football teams. I'm like, and Terry Crews was also an NFL player and built like a Greek god and like had other things going on. Let's say you're not a talented person. I don't mean this as an insult.
Yeah.
Let's say you're just like, I got to earn money. I got rent. I got family or whatever. I got loans. I need a job. I'm willing to work for 40 hours to get some money to pay my bills. And this idea of like certain, like to me, what is that worth? Forget what the job is. What is the minimum you think it's worth for somebody to get their ass out of bed every day? You know, cause then these are the same people who go sitting on their asses getting help, food stamps.
Right.
They won't even want to work. Well, now this person wants to work and they're working. What's that worth now?
And what
$8 an hour?
What if their talent is making delicious fries? You know what I mean? Like, what if that's what the fuck they're good at? Is like, I know how to take the money at the register. Like, what? Who the fuck cares? You know what I mean? Right. Like, the value of this person's, you know, like work ethic. If they're working, they are working. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing that kills me. Is like, and then the final thing I'll say about this. It's the hardest job I ever fucking had.
Come on your feet, sweating and shit. Come on.
The service jobs I had were the jobs where I fucking came home and was disgusting. You know, you've been smelling like food all day. You're sweating. You're being worked hard as fuck.
People talking to you crazy and
talk to you any old kind of way. And the one semblance of that job that you have is, well, at least I got paid for this. You know what I mean? And then for people to go, no. The pay thing should actually be motivation to not want to do the job. We're going to turn it the opposite way. You're getting paid too much for this demeaning, degrading, just barely able to afford anything ass job.
Right.
Karen?
No, it's a disgrace.
I think for me, when y'all talking about companies, if McDonald's, but I'm just calling that McDonald's, if McDonald's was to say, we're going to raise wages and we're going to actually offer all the employees insurance, that means the people up top will literally have to take less.
Yeah.
But y'all making hand over fist. And I don't know if nobody told you, cost of shit went up regardless.
Right.
A Big Mac combo used to be $2.95, $3.05 plus tax years ago. Mm-hmm. It ain't that shit no more. So the cost gonna go up regardless. So take the extra money and pay these people, because the more people on insurance, that means your workers are healthier. They're calling out less. Mm-hmm. You know, they're being taken care of. They can take care of their kids. Like, it actually benefits you to invest into your employees.
And just one more thing too about that. We never make that argument for CEOs.
No.
We only make the argument that a CEO should get less money when a company completely shits the bed. Like, you know, we never say like, wow, they just gave their CEO $1 billion like bonus. That's going to make Big Macs cost more. We never say that. But if we say they're going to give their employees a raise in minimum wage, we're like, well, how much is a fucking Big Mac going to cost? And as you brilliantly brought up, inflation and all the other things that happen with food, they happen anyway. Right. So there, it's not like we can go, well, at least everywhere you go, everything still costs the same as 1985 in Wendy's. Like, that doesn't even make sense to then turn around and be like, the one thing we can't do is raise. I remember, Master John, John Shatter of, Papa John's, he said at one point, people were like, you can pay your employees a living wage and give them insurance. And he said it would cost something like a nickel more a pizza. And he was adamantly opposed to as if human beings, us, out in the real world, would be like, I was gonna get Papa John's, but by the time I finished ordering two pizzas, it was a dime more than it was last week.
I was gonna buy the shit anyway.
Fuck those people and fuck their health insurance. Like, that's so insane. But he made this argument, and that's the kind of shit that, you know, a conservative person will pick up and be like, yeah, exactly, you can't, a nickel more a piece, are you crazy? I'm like, nigga, you, the nickel is for you,
right?
Like, you don't own the company.
And you know what, when food costs go up, you're gonna raise that bitch 15 cent and not give them a fucking thing,
right? All right.
And that's the that's also the, not to sound like Bernie Sanders, but that is the, when stock price became the most important thing about a company and not the community, not the workers, not the product, but the stock price.
Right.
Everything becomes subservient to that. But to me, I just think all we're doing is creating tech jobs, which not everybody can do, obviously, the education, the intelligence, and service jobs are growing. And that's, you deny reality when you say, well, you should be doing other things. Well, there isn't other things. We've created this stratified economy, so you have to make sure that those people who are taking those jobs can live on those jobs. You're not, and somebody had posted this, $15 in New York City?
Right. What is that?
That's, you are broke. You are still broke. Like, the best you can do, let's say you have a partner. You and your partner each have, this is like, if you're lucky, if you're a minimum wage worker, both of you have 40 hours a week and you make your $15 an hour. And let's say it's like a Starbucks and they have some like modest insurance for you. That's like best case scenario.
Right.
Right.
You still are going to have to live like probably like an hour from your store.
Right.
Like in an outer borough in a small apartment that, you know, may or may not be in a good neighborhood or a good building. And you got to pay for your Metro card, which is going to be like $130 if you're not driving, if you're just using the train, $135 a month. You can live. And that's best case scenario is a minimum wage partnership. You can live.
Right.
Now, I don't know how many movies you can go to. I don't know how many meals out you can have.
Right.
But you can like probably make your rent and like live month to month while not particularly enjoying life.
Right.
Right.
And that's like, oh, best case, like, but we did it. We're doing it.
Right.
And then you want to tell those people, you know, you should only be making 10 an hour and striving for more.
Right.
And it's like, that's the kind of shit where you should like beat that person to death.
Exactly.
Right. The argument makes no sense.
All right. Hold on. I got to pause it. All right. So coronavirus news. No evidence shows that having coronavirus prevents a second infection. This is by the World Health Organization. I know we had someone write in the other day to be like, it could be people relapsing, but it doesn't necessarily mean people are being reinfected. This is not saying people are definitely being reinfected, but the WHO says they don't know that
they're immune, right? Which means they won't catch it again.
Like, you may have antibodies, but there are some people that have a low level of antibodies, and they're not sure that means that they are 100% protected from being reinfected with coronavirus. So, you know, this idea of herd immunity and we all just like go back out, let some people get it, because the idea is that there'll be like some sort of immunity passport, you know, like, well, you had it and you survived, so you can just like go out.
Right. That's if you survived.
Yeah. But they actually don't know that would even work even with that. So, at this point in the pandemic, there is not enough evidence about the effectiveness of antibody mediated immunity to guarantee the accuracy of an immunity passport or risk-free certificate, said the WHO. So maybe we'll find out more later. You know, I don't know exactly, you know, I'm not a scientist. I don't know how they figure that shit out, but just want to let you guys know. Mm-hmm. Let's see what else. Safer sex. In the city, STD cases plummet amid coronavirus pandemic.
Oh, that's a good thing. Yeah, I was talking to your mom. I was like, there are a lot of good things that's actually coming out of this. That means it's less like victims of crimes and rapes and sexual assaults and muggings and murders. So, you know, the problem is us, y'all. I don't know if y'all realize that we're the problem.
Yeah, I mean, I like how you look at the petri dish half full.
Yeah, we're the problem.
Wasn't it Agent Smith who said in The Matrix, didn't he say like humans are a plague or yes. something like that, or like a disease
or something like that? Yeah,
a virus. Yeah. That's right. He said it like that. Yeah, that's. I mean, it's kind of stunning. Like, we're the ones destroying everything, including ourselves.
Right. When they start showing like the animals like having a good time outside and shit, I was like, damn.
I know they partying. Somebody was like, it's been 2 weeks. They ain't came back.
I saw an animal, a video where like a rodent of some type was literally standing outside of a screen door or like a patio door looking at a dog
eating like, pizza. Yes,
eating a slice of pizza. Like, it was really like
bitches, I know y'all ain't coming out.
Like, I know you can't do shit, homie. Like, I'm out here living my best fucking life outside without these humans. You stuck inside like a fucking domesticated canine. You should have been out here with us. But yeah, I thought that was
Florida and Georgia are going to be the only two states that have like a population boom. And it will be like that movie Idiocracy, right? Like, all the Trump people in Georgia and Florida will be having a bunch of dumb babies in 9 months. Like, we met at the club because we love freedom. It was Freedom Night. It was Freedom Night at Confederacy, our favorite nightclub. And we got to fucking in the bathroom, no condoms, because you can't get corona through the cum. Okay. And then we had a good time and had twins, Freedom and Liberty. Those are our twin girls.
Freedom, Liberty, come over and introduce yourself. And they're just coughing and shit.
I know. Like, the babies go banana. Our babies is corona and virus. Coronavirus, come on over here.
coronavirus cases are spiking in places where Trump supporters protested the stay-at-home orders.
No shit. People could have told you that.
I'm okay with that, but what makes me sad about that, and I kept saying, and I know I talk about this on my podcast a lot as I go through my, like, emotional and spiritual confessions on air, but I'm like, I don't want to be the type of person. I try to check myself when I'm like, I wish Trump would fucking die. And I go, I can't have those kind of thoughts. Like, I can't. Mm-hmm. It's not right. It's not right psychologically or spiritually, but you can't help it. You're human. You have these thoughts. His supporters, I'm like, man, sometimes I'm like, man, if you all get this shit, good. And I go, right. I don't want to think that, but I all, cause it's the bad way to die. And it's like, you want to believe in people changing and seeing the light or whatever, but like, but you're also maybe going to get that store clerk who wanted no part of your bullshit.
Right.
You might get them sick, and that's, to quote The Godfather, you know, this I don't forgive.
Right.
It's like they didn't, you brought it to them.
That's
like,
what I worry about.
They didn't go on your rifle march. They didn't go with their rifle to.
Right.
I wouldn't mind if they fucking like had their own insular MAGA community.
I would be fine with that.
You know, like the other day they broke up like an Amish party and like I had
like
mixed
in
feelings.
Watchmen, right? In yeah. Watchmen, the Nixon land. Like, you can have that.
Yeah. Like, you know, like they broke up an Amish party the other day and I was kind of like, I mean, yes, that's good. I don't want the Amish to like die from this shit or whatever. But then like also it was kind of like, Amish don't really fuck with nobody else. So unless, you like come buy something from one of their shops, it's kind of like they're just taking care of themselves, you know? But with the MAGA people, I would much prefer that they inject bleach or like, you know, say drink a Tide Pod or something. Like, if we're gonna, you know, if you're gonna go full, I'm in a cult and I listen to everything Crazy Pants says, then go ahead and do the things that only kill you. Cause, these coronavirus meetups,
you like Trump,
insane.
Don't you? You like Trump? Then drink the bleach. Do it expeditiously.
Come on, expeditiously.
I want to do an all-white. Lean on Trump. There it is. There's the next sketch.
Lean on Trump.
Lean on Trump. They used to call me Crazy Don. Now you can call me Batman. And just like, he gets up there with like a fat white dude named right. Sam's, and he's like, you like Tide Pods, don't you? Then drink them, you son of a bitch.
Mr. Trump, I don't want you.
I don't want to drink the bleach.
Hey, JL.
I want to disenfranchise the blacks. What else do you want to do, son? I want to go to MAGA rallies. And what else? I want to go to Liberty University and learn about Jerry Falwell. Then you're going to stop using the Tide. Then you're going to use the Tide Pods.
Hey, JL. JL, they're going to lock them up for having church services, and they're going to be in there talking about, I don't have to do nothing but get corona. Coronavirus and die.
I'm waiting for the
white side.
I'm waiting for the
white side high.
I'm waiting for the conversation that he has to have with him and Putin, where Putin is Guillaume, whatever, where he's like, you will give me the gut if you're so hot on discipline, how you start accepting some yourself?
Contrary to what you heard, I'm the HRIC, yeah. The head racist in charge.
Yes!
Now come on, let me bite your sandwich.
We've got it. Let's do this.
I
need to talk to somebody right now about like getting some a production deal for this sketch. Let's get this on like a. You know, talk to Jordan Peele or SNL and be like, can we just do a digital short with this?
Right.
Hey, JL, and me and Roger joke about this, but I say, we ever get enough money to start our own production company, we come up with some brilliant ideas.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Freestyling on the show. But yeah, that's absolutely, what the fuck is happening. Cause they're literally killing themselves. And as I keep trying to point out, coronavirus don't give a fuck about your faith in yourself, your faith in your Jesus, it don't care. It's a virus. We know scientifically how viruses work. There is no other solution where you can be like, I believed in myself, you know, like these, Trump rallies. That's why I was telling Karen, like, they're not bravely sacrificing their lives. They think they're not gonna get it. And it's insane. Cause we're like, what level of cult member do you have to be before you really think like, well, president said I can drink motherfucking bleach and go to the rally, I'm gonna get my gun and go to the rally, I should be okay. They're dying, now they're getting sick, and the way the incubation period works, this is not the wave yet. Like the rallies were last mm-hmm. week, it'll really start hitting like in the middle May. Of this week or next week is when we're really gonna see those people that have taken like the they either have like the 4 to 5 day incubation, like pre-symptomatic period, and then they flare up, and then eventually the people that they've been contact, like that's when we see the shit. So it's really insane.
And now we're actually seeing the people that was determined to go to church for Easter, like mm-hmm. people talking about the numbers spiking. Yeah, these are the people that was like, I got to go touch the hem of his garment on Easter Sunday, people.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the funny thing about that is like my church has been closed. My church is across the street from me, Catholic Church, not exactly known as a super liberal institution, although right. they vary from, you know, parish to parish, but right. we shut down like the same day my law firm kind of said everybody work remote. My church was shut down. It's these people, and I'm not challenging anybody's individual faith, but right. these sort of white Republican evangelical churches, they're like the mirror of like the black church in the 60s, where right. it was like, this is like a political movement linked with like the freedom and Jesus's teachings. Like they work hand in hand. Mm-hmm. They're like on parallel tracks. You can merge like freedom and rights and all that into a Jesus-centric message. They can walk like together. The evangelical Trump church is like working in opposition. Mm-hmm. To what they claim to be. I've always said this. I think those people are largely Old Testament people who just don't want to call themselves Jewish.
Right.
They want that branding of Christian, and they want to be in that popular club and that dominant faith, but they don't buy into that stuff. They're all Old Testament wrath and division kind of theology. And that the church, it is a Republican political entity.
Right.
It is not about, there's nobody out there saying go to church. You gotta go to church. Like it's more important than life. Like right. no, that's the whole, you know, render unto God what is God and unto Caesar what is Caesar's. Like you can have some state and church division. You right. don't have to, you don't have to walk into that building. Like that's not about, I need to be here to pray. That's, I need to be here to show these Democrats mm-hmm. and these scientists that they don't dictate. That's not a faith. That's not faith.
Right.
That's not religion. That's also a political statement.
It's also exerting control. Like these,
you know, I say it all the time, but a lot of these fucking pastors are basically atheists, like, because they don't teach, they don't teach open teachings in the Bible. They just kind of do what the fuck they want to do. And so to be able to, like, look at people who are probably going to get sick and die, because many people that go to church are old, and be like, yeah, fuck that. Give me your stimulus check. Come to church anyway.
You don't care about, like, your flock.
Like, you're evil. Like, there's not a, like, a middle ground I can have for you. I'm like, well, maybe he just doesn't understand. No. You're fucking evil. You do know better. They've put programs out now where pastors can get compensated for closing the doors. So you don't even have the money motive of, like, well, I really fucking need this money. Like, no, you could take a cut back, sit home, but you're, this is that thing that people do where, like, the cult member, the cult leader is like, if I let the people go home, then that's another day I'm not telling them what to do. And then maybe a couple days of that, and they go, why the fuck am I even listening to this guy? So I have to stay on their ass every day. And that's what it seems like some of the more craven people are doing. Obviously, quote unquote, not all churches. We all know that. Like, there's a lot of churches that have, they do the stuff online. In Charlotte, they're doing this thing where you can drive in and they'll preach to you while you're in your car. Like, mm-hmm. there's ways that people are doing both. But to see these people that are, like, adamant on, like, no, fuck that. And the real religion of a lot of the Trump evangelical and a lot of the conservative Christian is white supremacy. That's the religion. The religion's not the God or Jesus. It has shit to do with him. Because if you look at the things that they care about, you know, it's like, man, it's weird how you guys keep falling on the side of Republicans no matter what the fucking topic is. You know what I mean? Like, you're pro death penalty because of eye for an eye, but you're pro, you're anti-choice because that's a life and all life is precious, but, you know, you're
pro-gun because thou shalt not kill was not a literal thing. Right. Like a suggestion.
It's crazy, man. Speaking of which, a defiant preacher in our city.
It, he is. I seen it.
Brian Karn. They have an audio recording of him where he admits to having COVID-19 symptoms and says, I tested positive for faith.
He did Easter Sunday service. It's really big here because they was like, he did service knowing that he has this.
Yeah. And it goes even further than that. Because he says he experienced the symptoms, including pain, shakes, and a cough. He's 31 years old. He did not wear a mask or any protective covering while conducting services to a packed church on Easter Sunday. He's black, just letting y'all know. And he ran up and down the aisles leading prayers and songs of praise. The private audio circulated among church members and was later shared with the Daily Mail. In the recording where Karn was speaking to parishioners, he is heard stating that for faith. According to the site, their source also reports reported Karn to the Charlotte police, who were unable to close the church. North Carolina's coronavirus safety measures exclude churches from bans on gatherings of 10 or more. So churches can still gather, which is why I say leadership is so fucking important, because essentially you would have to tell these motherfuckers not to do it. That people are going to do whatever they want to do anyway for the most part, but some type of guidance from up top is the sole thing that keeps people from doing the dumbest things. Like, well, I guess I won't since the mall is closed. It's like, so you would have went to the mall.
Yeah,
but they had to close the mall. You couldn't just do that on your own. Yeah. Technically, we should be able to read the news and do all this shit on our own. I'm a social distance. I'm not going to go to crowded places. But it's like, if you open the beach, they go to the beach.
Right.
It's fucking insane.
And it doesn't make any sense in Mecklenburg County in particular, because, you know, Charlotte is here, which is the largest city in the state, has some of the highest cases. So it's like, this doesn't make sense, sir.
He also told his members that while it's okay to go to the hospital if you get sick, they should not say they go to his church. He advised them to say they go to a different church.
What?
A godly man, a God-fearing Christian man. They're all atheist. You gotta be an atheist, right? He gotta be an atheist. I know that's in the Bible. You can't supposed to lie. You're not supposed to lie.
You don't care nothing about your people.
That's in the Bible. Not to mention, for the just civic trust, when we try to like contain the spread, we're gonna want to know where the fuck people got it from. We can trace it back and be like, oh, all these people need to get tested. You're just muddying up the system. You sound like a motherfucking like Nino Brown at the fucking drug conference table telling people what the alibi is gonna be. Like, this is our cover story. You're at that point, you cease to be a fucking preacher,
right? Come on.
Anyway, Kingdom City Church is located in Mecklenburg County, where Charlotte is the largest area. The death toll there is twice of any other county in North Carolina.
Right.
There have been 1,231 cases recorded infections and 31 deaths in our county so far.
Can I give a shout out real quick to the chat?
Sure.
Keith Blair with, the coining the term I've never heard before. Patheists.
Yes. Atheists.
They want your money.
They that's levels. Okay, that is levels right there. Preacher wants to get paid. The only thing to make it better is if it was praytheist, because then it has the word pray in it. Preacher and atheist.
Ah, all three. So, trifecta.
You know, but I like that paytheist though, because they trying to get paid. I like that. Great job, Keith. Way to shout them out, JL. Private Karn previously made headlines last month when he posted a YouTube sermon urging his followers to ignore government directives. You are not bound by the laws of the land if they contradict the laws of God. In the clip, he also revealed he was hospitalized for the virus and was in the hospital on a ventilator. Coughing can be heard throughout the recording.
What?
And you know, when you go on a ventilator, the like, I wonder if that person's even alive.
Because yeah.
Like the odds of you coming out of there are like 8% or some shit right now. Like going on a ventilator is pretty, is high risk. This is sick. And like I said, these people go to the church and then they're gonna go to the store and then they're gonna go to work and then they're gonna go to the parks. Like this shit just makes it feel so unsafe outside, you know?
And what some of these states are doing, I mean, Florida, like the best example to me, and I know I'm somebody who never votes Republican. I know we're in that group, but you do see there are some Republican governors of kind of the old school Republicans who are doing the right thing. They may be pro-life, they may be low taxes,
right?
But they've put aside all that and are being about health, safety. Period. Like that's it. We got to fight this, and then when we're through this, we can get back to the usual squabbles.
Correct.
But what you see is these Trump governors, the ones who came in with him, like kissing his ass with that ignorant MAGA sort of nonsense. Kemp and DeSantis, Florida and Georgia, they make it so that like, well, now we're open. So like, if you don't work, you're not unemployed,
right?
Because we open the state. So now you're putting it on people. The same people who a year from now you'll be screaming do not deserve more than $9 an hour to do their job.
But
you're saying you better get there and do work or else like you just aren't going to work. You have a job.
Right.
You're just not doing it. So we can't pay unemployment to somebody who doesn't work out of choice.
Right.
And it's like then I don't blame somebody who – I mean – if you own a barbershop, if you own a nail salon, you don't want to work, but now you have no way of protecting your business or your livelihood. They've stripped you of protections, basically. So what do you do? I can't judge. I can judge the person going to get their hair cut.
Right.
Like, I can be like, I don't think you should be doing that. Like, my hair is a damn mess right now.
Right.
I put up a thing. I'm turning into, like, somewhere between Malcolm Gladwell and Terrence Howard in Hustle and Flow. But it's... It's you're putting it on these people to make like a choice of like, I don't know what to do because I need to make money and now I can't get the benefits.
You gotta
be safe.
You gotta put 10,000 hours of practice, man. It's the only way.
And
my very limited Malcolm Gladwell Terrence Howard.
DJ, 6'2", mustache, wavy hair, likes to say bitch a lot. Hey man, I say bitch, man.
And then JL, they gotta piggyback on what you're saying. Okay, you open up the economy, but then what jobs? Like,
right.
Like who is hiring?
Also, people aren't gonna go do this shit for the most part. Like,
right? It's like they'll they don't be know human nature.
Like, for people that don't understand how like brick and mortar businesses work, there will be customers who are dumb enough to go be like, I'll risk a haircut coronavirus, right? Like, I'll risk coronavirus to get a haircut. There will be some. Like that, like, you'd be a fool to say there'll be zero. it won't be enough. They did, like, when a company budgets what they're gonna need to do to pay the rent, they're budgeting on some higher expectations than 3% of the customers they normally get, which is that you're gonna end up with a lot more people being like, I don't give a fuck if it's socially distanced or not. I'm not going into a restaurant and sitting down for an hour.
Right.
So you might as well keep it fucking closed. And restaurants are going to open up knowing that they are like on the thinnest of margins, thinking that this desperately will keep us from closing. It won't. It won't even extend you not closing. Mm-mm. If you were going to close because everyone wasn't coming and takeout wasn't enough, you're going to be in the same situation, except now you risk coronavirus for all your employees and yourself. So you may even die now as opposed to just losing your business. Or whatever. So, speaking of which, don't eat or inject yourself with disinfectant, warns the FDA commissioner. Had to do that.
So he'll be fired soon.
Yeah.
So he'll get fired soon, I guess.
Yeah. You saw where Trump was like, I'm not doing any more of these. I don't want to do these conferences anymore. Press conferences. Because you guys taking everything I say and turning it against me.
Bitch, didn't nobody ask you to do them in the first place? Who asked for these? I'm sorry.
I think people did ask for them, for sure. I mean, that's kind of the thing. So
there was an article. Mm-hmm. There was an article in the New York Times a couple of days ago that was going through this whole process. And it turns out he kind of just, because he can't do these rallies.
Right.
This sounds so pathetic. It sounds almost like something a Democrat would make up about him just to fulfill, but it's the truth. He like saw these rallies, like he wasn't even going to the meetings. He wasn't even going to like the coronavirus meetings. He was just like, Pence, you big gay dude, do that. Mm-hmm. And then he kind of saw the publicity. And he decided impromptu, after not attending a meeting, like his first one, he just got up there. Mm-hmm. He went to attend it, but then like he saw that they were going to ask questions and he realized he could get into his like yelling at reporters. That's the only reason he does it. Anybody can see, well, anybody who's not a nutcase can see he hates reading that shit. He doesn't know what he's reading. Like they hand it to him. He reads it. Oh, well, we're doing and this. We got things and it's good. It's good. And we're doing studies and tests. So many tests. But he's just racing through it to like, he'll even read things like, our greatest sympathies with the American people. We care so much about our people. We're a very strong country. We love our people. It's a tremendous time. We're going to do our best for the American people. Any questions? Okay. Right. Now I'm ready. Let's do it. Right. Now I'm invested. Like he doesn't care. Right. He really does. I mean, it's very obvious. He does not care. He is not invested. He's not doing any of the behind. Like Pence, for all that people can justifiably hate Pence, the one thing I'm going to say is Pence looks worn out. Like Pence looks like he is up all hours trying to do something.
Right.
Like, and that's not me being a Pence fan. I'm just like, I can see it on his face and in his voice. This dude is like tired, and at least you see that he's invested in some way.
Right.
Trump gets up there, polished, new hair, like does his shtick and leaves and doesn't do any more work. He just goes and tweets.
Yep.
And he basically did it on a whim and then realized he was juiced up from like fighting with reporters. That's all it is. It is not healing the nation. It's not informing the nation. So it's like, it's a joke and you're not getting, it should just be Fauci. It should be Pence introducing Fauci.
Yep.
And that's it.
Yep.
Right. That should be it.
And that's why I was saying who asked for this, because any other president, if they were to do this, it will be to inform the public. You're not giving us any information. You're not informing, educating. You're just fucking up there. So I'm like, who asked for this?
Let me tell you who asked for this. One, half of America who voted for this motherfucker, because they that is their president. Two, the media. He's good ratings. He's they will put the shit on. They know he'll lie. Yeah,
they're part of the problem too.
You know, even to be snarky with this man, like I said it a while ago and I mean it, even to be snarky with him is not worth it.
Mm-mm.
Like the thing where it's like, well, at least we got a cryon at the bottom of the screen, like pointing out, look, he's a piece of shit, guys. Ha ha ha. Like that's a
Trump's a big ass.
Yeah, like great. Okay, you got the retweets. You still aired this man's propaganda that you know is infecting the country. You know this shit is, like, then you have to spend all day undoing what he did because you let that shit slide, you know? So I do think, and for the record, he has the office, so the things he says and does are newsworthy. This is not me saying, like, how the fuck can, is this even news? No, it's definitely news. But to then give him an unmitigated, just kind of like bully pulpit every day.
And I think that's,
there's a cost to that, yes, that get addressed, by the people that propagate it.
To be fair, I know CNN gets a lot of justifiable criticism, but yeah, they have for like a week basically not been covering him.
Yes, CNN is, CNN is on it for sure. Absolutely.
Because he really is, it's so embarrassing, but insulting. And the fact that he'll be up there talking about like seven different things, you know, and then the way this is all retread, everybody's talked about this, but I keep thinking to myself, I'm like, I know I'm biased because I liked Obama and I don't like Trump. I just don't remember Obama giving any speech where he'd be like, the person introducing him would be saying, Mr. President, thank you so much for having me here. This is a great opportunity and the American people love you for it. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember Joe Biden, like on a hot mic saying, this is a big fucking deal. That's how like a real person compliments somebody they like.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
well, not just that, but also, one, you could be downright rude to Obama and there was no real consequence for that. Right. And I mean that from liberal people and fucking Republicans. It wasn't just Republicans that were like, I don't respect this man or this office because I don't have to. Two, he was more genuinely just, approachable, more genuinely, authentic. And I think there's a lot that got taken for granted because he was so professional and so measured. He would get asked tough questions all the time. Many times I would go, that's kind of not fair. There's no fucking answer to that he could give that would be okay. And he still would handle it with aplomb. Like every time, like, I'm gonna give you the truth as much as I can and then ration out like this measured type of thing. Dog, Trump can get up there and just be like, that's a nasty question. That's rude. And that's become a thing. And here's the thing I'll add though. Take it one step further. I don't think the nasty questions make any fucking good note for us as Americans. Like, I think these reporters getting off the, I got a snarky question that he is definitely gonna lie about and not answer. And they, like, it's like high fives on Twitter. I don't think it puts us in a better position as a country that someone got to ask him a snarky question, man. And I think this fucking pipe dream that so many liberal progressive people have where we're gonna like question him into integrity, or we're gonna like get him in some type of logical checkmate where he then goes, well, I guess I have to do the thing I'm supposed to do. It's never coming. He's a fucking narcissist. He doesn't live in the reality that you live in. He doesn't share the facts that you share. He can change the things that you think are just a chessboard that we're playing on. He can just be like, we're not playing chess anymore. This is Monopoly. Why? Because I fucking decided that this is now a Monopoly board. And you're like, that is definitely a checkers or a chessboard. I'm looking at it right now. He's like, nope, we're playing Yahtzee. That's what he keeps doing every day, you know? And so I can't watch his press conferences, and I don't really like to see the snarky shit on Twitter because I start feeling like Forrest Whitaker in The Shield, man.
Yeah, it's I think they should stop covering him. I get sad when I just think, when you were describing Obama, mm-hmm, I just thought to myself, I'm like, my three presidents that I voted for, I mean, I voted for John Kerry in 2004, but like, Al Gore in 2000.
Yep.
Obama in 2008. Mm-hmm. Hillary in 2016. And I just think to myself, what if Al Gore did 8 years, handed it to Obama for 8, who handed it to Hillary Clinton for 8. And I go, do people, you can complain all you want about corporate Democrats or whatever. Right. Do you realize the intelligence, the experience of those three individuals that we could have had like a quarter of a century of kind of intelligent, thoughtful, experienced climate change thinking,
right?
More, you know, they can talk about people being hawks or whatever, but we might not have had the Iraq war. We might be we'd be a major leader in climate change, and we wouldn't have Trump. Like Trump, what's so crazy about this is Trump is the worst.
Right.
He's not just bad. He's the one worst of our worst people.
Not president.
He's
people in America.
He's the 100th worst president, and we've only had 45.
Right.
Like, he's the worst we're going to have in our lifetimes, I think. And I genuinely don't think we can do worse than right. him. I mean Me that. Like, same. I just don't. Mm-mm. And the idea that there are people still defend, I mean, the shit I've gotten on Twitter with this guy.
Yeah.
Like, I had one on Instagram. I posted it before the show. A woman was talking about me making comments, you know, on Instagram as Trump saying, I was saying we need to get our sports leagues back because mm-hmm. I don't want all these big blacks with nothing to do. It's very dangerous.
Right.
And then I said, we're nervous because they're very big. And, you know, when they have nothing to do, bad things can happen. I'm not so worried about hockey and baseball. They seem like they can take care of themselves.
Right.
But football and basketball, we got to get these leagues back. So I say that. And this woman writes to me. She's like, so disguising racism as jokes, why don't you just put on blackface and be Jimmy Kimmel? And I said, I'm half black. Parentheses, Rashida Jonesy. Mm-hmm. And then I said, making racist comments, folks, from a guy who makes racist comments is totally in bounds. Yeah. Third, piss off.
Right.
And then she wrote back to me. She wrote back, Palestinians are not black. And she said, Rashida Jones is an anti-Semitic Arab. Comparing yourself to her makes you sound so stupid. Why is it no one accused Trump of being racist when he wasn't running for president? And then I just simply wrote, he was sued for discrimination in the 70s for keeping black people out of his buildings. Do your homework. Like,
what is that person's?
That's a robot.
I want to know what that person's fucking
She's real. She is
I'm sure it's a real. I wonder what that fucking person, what is their moral compass then? Because it's like, Rashida Jones, not good enough. Okay. She has Jews and she's not even really black. And I just want to point that out. She's a terrible person. Trump, great person.
She's Arab.
And
she's an Arab.
Right. Now, Trump, great person. Stop, leave him alone. Okay. Stop using, you're racist for mocking his racism.
Stop using him. Stop using his voice. Stop using his voice to get your racist beliefs out.
Right.
Is what she was basically saying. Yeah. I'm like, what are you talking? And I have gotten this from a few people now.
That's crazy.
Who are saying like, that it's like I'm my anti-black athlete stance by using Trump.
Like, that's I'm your like, agenda.
This is why, and I know I'm hijacking this conversation, but this is why Joe Biden, I'm voting for him no matter what. I'm donating no matter what. So that's not a question.
Right.
But God damn it. If it ain't Stacey Abrams, just make it Kamala Harris.
Right.
You need that. You need, like, it is time. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and then you're going to get the Republicans saying, why does it have to be a black woman? If I said it had to be a white man, that would be racist.
Right.
Like, shut
yes,
up.
It would be. What are we talking
party.
About?
This isn't even your discussion. Please leave.
Also, but like, it needs to be a, it needs to be a to black it. Woman too, because Joe Biden is probably going to die. Okay, guys. So we need to have a backup plan. It might be the only fucking way to get a black woman into the White House. And here's my thing. If it's a black woman, once she becomes president, she's going to do such a fucking great job, because this is how all women, this is how all women are once they get a job.
Once they get it.
When they get the job, everyone's like, we are in fucking, we could have been living like this the whole time. Yes. When they apply for the job, it's like, bitch, how dare you? I can't believe you will come up in here trying to get a job at a man's job. Like, that is how, so it might be the only way. So this is the most important time for it to be like a statement. And I know they're trying to be like, you know, experience is again. She brought a, okay, so I'm a Stacey Abrams stan, right?
Same.
I listen to all her interviews on all her all the podcasts she does. I think she's so sharp, but also I love that she just like lays shit bare. Like every time they ask her about being VP, she's like, yes. Like everyone else always has to do the like, well, you know, I'll think about it. And it's, you know, really anyone could do. She's like, yes, me. And here's the reasons why. But one of the things she said to the inexperienced argument, they were like, well, people will say you don't have experience. She's like, no one has experience being vice president except people who've been vice president. Like what, like that's not necessarily a knock specifically against me. It's a big job. So if you've held any government job, you haven't held that government job. So it's still a promotion, quote unquote, for everybody. And she's like, and I'm ready to do it. And then more importantly, her platform is getting people to vote. the number one fucking issue in November is gonna be voter suppression. It's gonna be the COVID-19 keeping people from voting, mail-in ballots for everyone in America to be able to vote. It's gonna be getting people who sit on their ass, act like it's no big deal, or both sides, to get out there and vote. It's gonna be keeping like some of these like, and I hate to put it this way, but like these like woke ass black intellectuals who pontificate on like why they don't vote, not right. they will bow down for a black woman. Unfortunately, it's sad that it has to be that simple. But if it's a black woman VP, some of them will then take the stick out and be like, well, I do like my girl Stacey, as opposed, you know, to trying to siphon it. If it's like, you know, right. Klobuchar or Warren or something, then they'll be making this like big statement of like, I do a big production on why I'm not voting. So we need.
Go ahead, JL. Oh.
And my thing with Stacey also is, if you look at her resume, leadership role within the state, almost won the governorship, should have won the governorship, plain and simple. If she had won the governorship, she'd probably still be on the short list, but she's still federal experience. She'd have leadership experience, but she wouldn't be the top of the ticket anyway. Right. But if you look at her experience, she has more state. Isn't she like a Yale law grad, I think?
Mm-hmm.
But she's got sterling credentials. She was in a leadership position, State House, the leader, like the minority leader in the Georgia House of Representatives. If you look at when Obama ran for president, he basically had what? 3 years in the Senate and state representative, state senator work. That was his political resume. So he became president, and of course, gifted, talented, charismatic. He became president with half a term in the Senate ahead of Stacey Abrams. So it's like, this is somebody who, I said it I think the last time I was on, this is a woman who, instead of running for Senate, instead of trying to further her political career in the short term, dedicated her influence and notoriety to voting rights.
Yep.
She made that her cause. And to me, for everybody who's like, I want somebody who's not of Washington, I want somebody... She's out there fighting for the people's right to vote.
Right.
Like, that is not a Washington thing. That is an outsider shaking things up, but who has the brains and skills to be an insider.
Right.
I'm somebody who gave some money to Amy Klobuchar, so I'm not against her individually, but damn it, he just can't do it. Like, I think Joe Biden's underestimating his strength in the Midwest and how much people hate Trump.
Right.
Like we said, Virginia and Michigan, he got more turnout than Obama.
Yes.
That's not because Joe Biden is like, you know, the man.
Right.
It's because people hate Trump. They trust Joe Biden enough and they hate Trump. Now, I'm convinced, I'll say it here, exclusive for you, but I'll say it here. I think what happens in the fall, assuming Biden picks a good VP choice.
Right.
I think he crushes Trump.
Me too.
I actually think he wins very soundly, like a very clear victory. Mm-hmm. I think he wins a lot of that Midwest and Pennsylvania area. Mm-hmm. I think if it's an Abrams, he might take Florida. He might take North Carolina.
Yep.
He might make Georgia a competition.
Mm-hmm.
And then what Trump will say, because he believes his own bullshit, he'll say, and I quote, I won like the biggest victory in 2016. Like nobody had ever seen a victory. And then I did a tremendous job as president.
Mm-hmm.
So you expect me to believe that after doing a great job and winning a great victory 4 years ago, I get beat by Sleepy Joe, who's like terrible? No, voter fraud.
Yep.
Something's up. We're not doing like.
I can see.
And if they try to take your vote, Second Amendment people, you fight for it. I think that's exactly. Like I'm not. Mm-hmm. I thought I'm exaggerating.
Nope,
I think that's exactly what happens.
I think
he will directly encourage some violence.
Mm-hmm.
I think he will not give it up. I think because he believes his own bullshit. Like he thinks he's doing a great job. He thinks he won. He ignores the numbers of the Electoral College. He thinks he won like a Reagan margin. Like I won all the electoral votes.
Even if he doesn't think that, he thinks he can convince people to think that. Like he's, you know, I don't know what his actual reality is or not, but I do know that there's people that support his reality bending bullshit, and that's all it takes in America. But yeah, you're right. He'll definitely claim some type of, I mean, he said it was voter fraud when he won. Like he was like, you know, if it wasn't for all the illegal Messing.
Illegals.
Yeah.
Funny enough, the amount of illegal Eagles in California were exactly the same number that beat him by.
Right.
Like,
exactly.
She beat him by like 4 million in California or some shit.
Right.
And he was like, they're saying at least 3 million illegals voted.
Right.
You picked like the margin of victory was exactly how many illegals?
But I'm with you. I hope Biden picks Abrams. She's my favorite of the choices.
Yes, sir.
And I also think the idea that he needs to shore up his Midwest voter base is ridiculous because, one, you either got those people or you don't. And you're not gonna get the crossover people. He said something, the thing that really, like, the first sign of, like, life for me from Joe Biden was, a couple weeks ago when they asked him, like, so do you think you can get the win over some of these Trump voters? And he said, no. And I said, no, see, that's what the fuck I'm talking about. Like, I support that.
Yes.
And the real reason I support that is because he's one of the few candidates that can get away with saying it.
Right.
Because unfortunately, there's different rules for white dudes. You know, if Hillary calls those people deplorable, we're like, I can't believe she said that. That's not how she ran a horrible campaign. Like, all these fucking, like, just backseat campaign analysts come out of nowhere to tell us how terrible a moment that was. Joe Biden literally goes, no, I can't, what's the fucking point of winning those assholes over? And we're like, fucking Sleepy Joe, no more, buddy. That's what I'm talking about. But it's the same sentiment, and he's right.
I woke a sleeping Joe Biden giant.
Yeah.
No, but it's, yeah, and the Midwest, the whole thing with Joe Biden, what's so funny about this is they're like, he's got to win the Midwest. The appeal of Joe Biden himself was that he would win the Midwest.
Right.
Like, he's Mr. Blue Collar, Wisconsin, Ohio, Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And I think he will. Like,
I think so
he crushed him in Michigan. Like, he crushed in Michigan. I think, so you can't turn it into like, we need Joe Biden because he'll win the Midwest. But we need Klobuchar to win the Midwest. No. We need someone else somewhere else to win other places.
That takes us full circle. That takes us full circle to the beginning of the show and the excerpt that I read, right? That is literally that white liberal. No. Now, Negroes, be quiet. Stacey Abrams, calm down. Mm-hmm. Now's the time to double down on whiteness, guys. This is where we got them. It's like, wait, isn't this what we always do? But this time it's different. This time we're doubling down with a woman from the Midwest, so we're gonna shake it up. It's like, no, trust us, we know, we knew in 2016, we know now, trust us, put a black woman on this ticket, you know, and then we can talk, you know. And like I said, Stacey's my fave. I would take Kamala. I would take Val Dennings. I know they come with their own baggage. I know people would complain about it, but for the most part.
So not Nina Turner, former state senator from Cleveland.
I would go Simone Sanders before Nina Turner. I know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I don't think anyone's ever done that before where like a campaign person ran as a VP, but yeah, Nina Turner, is too busy being on Charlemagne the God's, show, yes, talking bad about Joe Biden.
Oh, that was terrible. When you shared that was terrible.
She, dog, I can't believe she is, I can't, well, maybe she's not, but it just seemed like she is also full bore Bernie bro, and maybe that's just because it's her job this time, but it's like, let me tell you something, man. This is why I fuck with Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. Because she's so much fucking smarter at pivoting away from some loser shit.
Mm-hmm.
Like these other fucking sycophants, they're like true to the core. I'll go down with I'll be playing the fucking violin in the ship as the Titanic floats to the bottom, the Bernie Titanic.
AOC was like, oh, Bernie gonna lose? No. I will not be stumping anymore. All right, y'all got it.
She had a great interview either on The Daily or like the K-Part, one of those type of podcasts. Great interview. Cause she was just basically like, no, I do fuck with these stances. These are my political beliefs, but I also know I have to convince people of my political beliefs. I know that black people weren't fucking with Bernie. So while he made some progress with different demographics of brown people, it wasn't enough. And so if black people don't believe what you're saying, it doesn't fucking matter if you're right. Because these are the voters, right? And so watching her like savvily, like kind of like pivot away from that, that's what I would love to see someone like Nina Turner do as well. Like, move the fuck away from this thing. It's like you've it's helped risen your level.
Right.
You know what I mean? But now you don't have to like take the L for him too. He can take this L by himself. And you can then use this, the momentum to push yourself in other areas or to run yourself or whatever. And also it says a lot about those motherfuckers that they wouldn't even consider running Nina Turner in 2024 or whatever. Like they, that won't even be in the minds of any of those Bernie fans. Like, well, you know what? Nina was a good soldier. She fought to the end. Bernie, you know, he's dead in 24. Maybe he's not running anymore or whatever the fuck. Like, okay, so it's over for that, but it shouldn't be over for our movement. We need new faces. We need new blood. Okay, ALC sold us out. Elizabeth Warren sold us out. You know, these, we don't fuck with them. But why not Nina Turner? She was there to the bitter end. She won't even be rewarded for that. I guarantee you they will not run her. They will not get behind her. She won't have nearly the movement or support that Bernie Sanders has. And meanwhile, a person like that actually could make inroads into getting the black vote to go socialist. And they still won't fuck with her. Guarantee it.
And one, if I may, just one thing on top of with Biden. Mm-hmm. Biden, he's obviously going to pick a woman. And the, I think also his candidacy, it was black people who obviously revitalized him with South Carolina, with Clyburn. And I mean, just, I remember putting a picture of Clyburn. Like I said, here's Clyburn, what he helped do for the Biden campaign. It was the Marshawn Lynch run.
Yes.
Where he ran over like 11 people and scored a touchdown.
Yeah.
So, you know, he's not picking a black man mm-hmm. as his running mate. Black voters, that was sort of the plan, but it was not, it was, you thought you'd be down like two at halftime going into South Carolina. Instead, right. you were like injured, like forfeiting the game,
right.
playing your third string quarterback. And then South Carolina came in and just went on like a 50-4 run and like obliterated the other team. And like you never looked back. And to me, you have to reward that. You have to. That you've been saying, you knew they were your base. You know the loyalty they have to you and to Obama was going to be your stronghold. And I think it's great that he said he's going to put a black woman on the Supreme Court. I think that is a great campaign promise. Trump promised to put, you know, 13-year-old racists on the Supreme Court
right.
for 55 years.
Right.
So fine. Fair game to say we're going to put somebody that reflects who we are and an underappreciated, underrepresented part of our base. To give their perspective, their life, and their gifts to the court. But I'm afraid that he's doing that as like, I know I picked a white lady, but don't forget, if you vote for me, we get a black lady on the Supreme Court.
Right.
I hope it's not that.
Well, because I'm gonna choose
the goddamn nomination.
I'm gonna choose to wait and see and then fret over it yet.
Yeah.
Because I also had a friend that was like, he's gonna pick a white man and stuff, and I was like, I'm not trying to be an ass, but do y'all ever get tired of like worrying about everything? I'm taking this one off. He's done a good job so far. He's gotten further than we thought he would get. I'll be outraged the second that he doesn't pick a black woman. I promise. I will be, but I'm not gonna pre outraged over this shit. You know, I'm not gonna
outraged.
Yeah, it's now I'm just living in paranoia. It's like the thing we were talking about the other day when I was just like, I'm gonna just choose to believe that, you know, the World Health Organization is not suddenly in Trump's pocket and gonna start saying bullshit, because I need that. You know what I mean? I, like, until I have proof that they are, I need to be able to believe in some of this shit. That there are some people in our government who are like, no, fuck this dude. I have to tell the people not to drink bleach. You know what I mean? Like,
that's
I need
my job.
That.
I'm obligated to.
I don't want to start believing that guy's in on it too. Maybe, you know, unless there's proof of it. So that's, I'm just going to hold him to his word and hope that we do get a black woman. We'll see which black woman it is, hopefully. But, you know, and if it's not, then I'll be pissed as, you know, I'll be just as fucking pissed as everybody else. Because I agree with everything JL said, man. Stacey Abrams to me seems to be the easiest. Knocked down. It's a layup. It's a literal layup. Like every argument against her is some shit that most of us, it's because she is that black woman that we don't like. We'll be like, I don't give a fuck. Like mm-hmm. the same shit that we pick mm-hmm. on other people for. Like it'll be like, well, you know, she got bad credit. Nigga, I got bad credit. Put her on the ballot. Like we
come on.
We don't care. So just you got to put her up there just because she the only one that to me that gives that level of enthusiasm from black voters. And of course, we'll see about black men, because I haven't really seen black men talk about Stacey Abrams that much, so you know, I'm never really too keen on
factor.
Like, you never know, because like, you know, black men sometimes will be like, have a reaction where you're like, really, y'all don't fuck with Stacey Abrams, you know, like, so we'll see. But I hope he picks her. All right, look, we've gone out of some time. This is 2.5 hours. I was gonna do guest the race and all that stuff, but I feel like we are I think we've given everybody what they need. Okay, guys, we'll be back tomorrow.
I'm very long-winded.
I love it. This, mm-hmm. Like, we've been doing this thing lately. I mean I know you listen to the show, but when we have guests on and stuff, like, a lot of times we don't even really get into the topics or talk about anything else. It's just like, how you doing in COVID-19 and what you think about the today's just things going on in the world. So I don't mind that stuff, and I think the audience loves it too. So mm-hmm. You know, don't worry about that.
Got a lot of good jokes.
Yeah. Now I will get, oh, I guess I should say this. There was one other major COVID-19 article that I didn't cover.
Okay.
Young people are getting strokes and heart attacks even if they're asymptomatic. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I mean, hopefully no one listening to us is stupid enough to be out here risking the Rona to, you know, also I'm young and I can take it, because like, it is spiked up considerably in strokes and heart attacks. And then the other thing, because of coronavirus, they're having a lot of people who aren't going to the ER right away. So, you know, one of the things with a stroke is you start getting experience of stroke shit, you're supposed to like hit that shit right away, like, oh, mm-hmm. It's time to go to the hospital and they can save you. But with the coronavirus, you got people having like, I don't think I can feel my arm, I'm gonna wait and see, you know. So it's making the results even worse, man. So even if you're in your 30s and 40s, you can get this and it can fuck you up. It can also cause blood to clot unnaturally. So in addition to strokes, you know, there was a person that had to get their leg amputated. A Scarface,
Broadway actor, right?
Yeah, Broadway actor. Yeah, and Scarface, the rapper, has to get dialysis now, like 3 or 4 times a week, because he had it and it affected his kidneys. So this is, you know, this is not the no big deal that people like when people say those numbers, like,
those are real people.
Well, not just that, but 86% of people have recovered. That's the article that tells you, well, they say there were no life-threatening injuries. Okay, well, I don't have an arm.
Life-altering?
So, you know, maybe this is still kind of some shit to put in the article. You know, like don't, let's not just, yes, he lost use of his legs, but no life-threatening injuries. Throw it in the article, let people know, you know?
Life-altering, like Karen said, that's a description that should seriously be in, like, right, articles and things. Like, no life-threatening, but life-altering. And like,
yes.
Or don't say life-threatening, but, like, life-altering could imply, like, loss of a limb is, like, I sometimes think about that when you hear, like, oh, a bomb went off and there were 4 people dead and 19 injuries. And I'm like, those were probably some pretty bad injuries.
Right.
Like,
yes.
Not like, oh, I cut myself. It's like, no, my arm is dangling.
Right.
But I'm alive.
They are, and, like, so, and that means also these numbers – because we're always finding out more through research, these numbers could mean some people that we wrote off as not coronavirus related deaths are coronavirus related deaths. Mm-hmm. Who knows how early, you know, like it'd been months ago someone got they just suddenly died of a stroke at 33 years old. Who knows? Life is crazy. And then they were never tested for any antibodies or coronavirus infection, anything. And so we'll never know those numbers. So yeah, man, be careful out. Just follow the fucking scientists' rules. That's all I have to say, guys. And if you do end up getting it and you go to the hospital and you're sick, that's fine. But don't tell them you were in our chat room this morning, okay?
Yeah!
You tell those guys you were listening to the Adam Carolla show, okay? You say, I was seeing what he was up to, and that's how I ended up getting it. All right, sword ratcheting this time, guys. A man with a sword attacked a Camarillo couple at their home Thursday night, sending both to the hospital. The incident was reported around 7:53 p.m. According to Ventura County Sheriff's Office, who gives a fuck what street it was on? The suspect, identified as 29-year-old Stephen Gilbert Montijo of Camarillo, or maybe it's Camarillo, lives or was staying in the area. He apparently walked over to the victim's house where he allegedly attacked both the husband and the wife. He was armed with a large sword, according to the sheriff's office. The attack occurred outside the couple's home. Montijo took he first swung the sword at the husband's head. The husband stuck his hand up to block the blade. The sword cut off several, if not all, of his fingers. Don't worry, Karen, it's not life threatening. After that,
life altering, remember? Because your life will be altered forever.
After that, Montijo reportedly swung the sword at his wife, causing significant damage to her shoulder and neck area.
Goddamn.
The victims were able to escape, and he fled the scene. Montijo fled the scene. Both victims were taken to the hospital. Their injuries did not appear to be life threatening. The husband and the wife.
I will never look at that word the same.
I'm telling you, man, I think about this shit every time I read an article.
You can be like, yeah, they got stabbed 8 times and lost the eye, but it ain't.
I want people to understand that when they see the numbers that are trying to be optimistic, that are like 87% of people have recovered from COVID. It's like, explain the recovery. Recovered and I'm on dialysis. Kind of still would rather not have it. You know, I recovered, guys, but they had to cut off my leg. I'm going to stay 6 feet away from people and wear a mask. Mm-hmm. I recovered, guys. Okay. I'm young. I recovered. I had several strokes. Okay. But I'm alive. It's like, that just means alive. That doesn't mean shit. I have, guys, the good news, I have 60% of my lung capacity from before. So I can like 100. Almost breathe the same way. Like if you would like to breathe 60% of the way you breathe now, then that's where I'm at. So, you know, you live, you win some, you lose some, but at least I'm alive. Like, no, fuck that. Try not to get it. It's the only fucking solution we have, is try not to get it.
Right. If I get it, he was just coming to get me no matter what.
God, these fucking dumbass mathematicians that went to school, like, the shit where you see them, we're like, guys, listen, the flu takes 70,000 people a year and we're worried about COVID-19. It's like, it's taking 56,000 people in 2 months.
Right.
Do the math, dumbass.
Short period of time.
Like, what school did y'all go to? Is this the new math that everyone keeps talking about?
Right, that I don't know how the fuck to do.
These fucking obvious ass numbers. All right, anyway, the guy was arrested and attempted murder and suspicion of mayhem, all felonies.
I'm glad.
He remained in the jail Friday morning. Bail set at $590,000. So he will not probably be able to pay that.
Mm-mm.
The attack was the first.
Very specific amount.
Isn't it? How do you get to that? $300,000 a person. Will take off $10,000 because one was a woman and we did not pay them the same. Yeah, I don't know how you get to that number. But yeah, the attack was the first of two unrelated incidents involving an intruder and stuff. Well, if they're unrelated, why is this in the art? All right, that's enough. All right, guys. Thank you, JL, so much for being here.
Thank you very much.
Tell
much
everybody,
as always.
Tell everybody one more time where to get Fireside Craps to the Deuce.
Yes, Fireside Craps the Deuce is available right now as you're listening to this for pre-order exclusively on iTunes. Any and all pre-orders are super encouraged, and we're thankful for them. And then on Friday, May 1st, it will go live. You get two tracks right away if you pre-order it.
Shit.
And then on Friday, it will go up on iTunes. It will still be on iTunes and then Amazon and then a few streaming platforms. I know Apple Music and Pandora. So we've limited what it is. That's not the total list, but that's like your main places where you can get it. Pre-order, iTunes, everywhere, those places on May 1st.
Guys, let's get it to number one.
Yes, and for those of you that are listening or I want to buy it, look in the show notes on whatever app that you're using, and you can purchase it through that.
Let's get it to number one, guys. We take it as a personal badge of honor.
Yeah, we do.
To take the credit for all of JL's hard work and success here at the Blackout Tips. And every time we see somebody from the show, like, post that picture or post that, like, accomplishment or whatever, you know, we all can be like, oh, that's the Blackout Tips bump right there. We doing it. And, you know, being associated with success is the best way to be successful yourself, guys. So let's, like, make sure that JL is successful out there. Cause,
my career was Joe Biden's campaign. you have been my South Carolina for not just a week or a month, but for years.
Yeah. We're the Clyburn of the JL campaign.
Hey, come on, Zach. Come on, man. We got this. Okay. And I made the CDs.
We recruiting.
Okay. Come on. Shut your mouth.
That's a pretty good Joe Biden.
Yeah.
It's not that bad,
man.
We're working on it. That's pretty good. I know you had that, man.
I didn't either. This might be like my John Bernthal.
Yes. Yeah. Like, you know, you throw a couple of those jacks in there, man. Like, it works.
Stop talking about him and Corn Pop.
Yeah, man. That's my man. All right. So anyway, until tomorrow. I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.